Blog Talk Radio.
Lately, a potential attack or unusual behavior from Hamas regarding Israel in the days before the terrorist attack by Hamas a week ago tomorrow. I want to turn now to the ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan. Mr. Ambassador, what do you make of this reporting from CNN that the U.S. had some warnings of potential violence from Gaza towards Israel, but Israel failed to understand what Hamas had in store? This comes from on top of some reporting since acknowledged from the Mr. that Egypt had passed on some warnings as well.
First, thank you for having me. Obviously, we all understand that we were surprised, but we have many things to investigate, but we can wait and everything will be postponed for the time after the war, because now our main goal is to obliterate Hamas' terror capabilities. We are not looking to blame anyone or blame one another. It's very important for us now to be united. That's why we established a unity government 2 days ago. So, we were surprised, but this is not the time now to investigate it.
So there's some reporting out there that suggests that President Biden and the Biden administration are urging Israel to hold off until there has been a humanitarian corridor established. So
you have to root yourself here.
The innocent Palestinians in Gaza can escape. And the United Nations, as you know, is saying that Israel's warning to the 1.1 million citizens in northern Gaza to evacuate is going to be impossible to do in any short term, because it's just too many people in the immediate future to get out in any near period of time.
Well, I don't know of any pressure coming from the Biden administration to hold our operation. We said that we will use every mean at our disposal to eradicate Hamas's terror capabilities, and we meant it. The Prime Minister gave an early warning a few days ago already, and sadly, it's very sad because I really feel sorry for the suffering of the people of Gaza, but we should all remember, they elected Hamas 18 years ago. Hamas is the only one responsible for everything that is happening there. Hamas embedded its terrorist infrastructure within the civilian population under public facilities, and there's no other way to eradicate Hamas terrorist capabilities and ensure that these atrocities would not happen again without eliminating it and without temporarily evacuating the population. But I think we should all remember another thing, Jake. Temporarily evacuation is reversible, but the loss of life is not. And right now we cherish life, and what we're doing now is making sure that no more people would lose their life in the future.
So you just said something about the people of Palestine, or people of Gaza rather, electing Hamas in 2007, and it is true. They elected Hamas in 2007, which is 18 years ago, and Hamas has not allowed an election since then. Hamas is a terrorist organization. They rule with guns. They rule with terror.
Yeah.
President Herzog said this week that it is, quote, an entire nation out there that's responsible. It's not true, this rhetoric about civilians not aware, not involved. It's absolutely not true. They could have risen up. They could have fought against that evil regime, which took over Gaza in a coup d'etat, murdering their family members who were in Fatah. You basically just insinuated something similar. And I guess my question is, if Hamas is a terrorist group, which it is, but if it is, then how can you hold all 2.3 million Palestinians in Gaza responsible for what Hamas did? Don't you think that they rule by killing people who oppose them? I mean, how seriously can you hold?
We do not. We
How seriously can you expect the Palestinian people, half of whom are kids, by the way, how seriously can you expect them to rise up if they are brutal murderers, which they are?
We do not expect them to rebel. We cannot decide for themselves how to live their life, but we are fighting for our life. We just lost 1,300 Israelis who were slaughtered and butchered and massacred. And like any other normal country, we have to ensure that such atrocities will not happen again. I feel sorry for many people in Gaza. Like that in Germany, in Nazi Germany, there were also Germans who were not involved. It's not about retaliation. It's not about revenge. We don't want to punish them. We just need to obliterate Hamas' capabilities. And sadly, there's no other way to do it. We will try again to protect the civilians and try to mitigate the loss of life. That's why we ask for the evacuation of the civilian population. We're not going to harm anyone who is not involved in terror activities. But sadly, that is the situation right now in Gaza. It's a threat against our
people.
Right now, some people will tell you it's an existential threat because they're long-term goal is to attack us from different multiple fronts, as we started to see right now on our northern border coming from Hezbollah.
Right.
So that's that's the only way to survive for the state of Israel. And I think that the civilized world should understand that we are fighting not only for Israel, we are fighting against a jihadist genocidal terrorist organization, exactly like ISIS and exactly like the Nazis.
So lastly, sir, there's been talk of trying to open the Rafah gate in the south, and that can only be done jointly with Israel and Egypt. My understanding is that the holdup is Egypt, that Egypt is refusing to open it. That is obviously key to letting the something like 500 Americans stuck in Gaza, but in addition, obviously, hundreds of thousands of innocent Palestinian children, women.
Mm-hmm.
When can that be opened so a humanitarian corridor can be opened so people can get out before this invasion?
I understand. We are holding close talks now with the UN, with its agencies, and also with the Egyptians, and I hope that Rafah border crossing will be open very soon. I really hope so.
Israeli Ambassador Gilad, thanks for your time today. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Pianki.
What do you say there, Donnie?
No, I'm saying
okay,
your microphone still
sounds bad.
You sound kind of muffled, man. You got a head cold or what?
Yeah, I do, actually. But that's not the problem.
Put Otis on the mic.
Yeah, he's messing with his board trying to get the microphone thing fixed.
I don't know why you don't leave that thing alone once it's working. Put your hands in your pocket.
Well, I don't mess with it. I don't.
Oh, there you are.
I turned it off.
Nope.
Put your hands down the front of your shorts. Keep them warm.
Well, bunches. Well, I don't know what's going on with this stuff. I got two very expensive microphones and neither one of them. What's happening?
I don't know.
It's
not good.
Okay,
I'm sorry. So what's new, Pianki? While Don's out there in the weeds trying to fix the stuff.
I don't know. Couldn't tell you what's new.
Nobody can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, now you're sounding like a robot.
Okay.
Okay, you're getting all whoop, whoop, whoop. Yeah, just don't even talk. Yeah, that's bad. He can't even hear you.
I'll get my phone.
Yeah, I was just typing in the chat room. Somebody activated Donnie's nanobots.
Yeah. He's having all sorts of trouble.
Transformers, right before our eyes.
We still love you, Don. You're just a mess right now. So I'm trying to be quiet while I'm putting groceries away.
Oh, well, we're used to all your rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. I'm trying to be good. It's not working out so well right now. I know I've got cheese around here somewhere that needs to go in. Good Lord. Okay, so what does everybody think about Israel? Where are the Palestinians supposed to go? Besides Egypt, that Egypt won't open the border when they evacuate.
Well, they want to come here.
Oh, we obviously
well,
have enough
Americans.
Palestinians here.
It's the same thing. You know, we're telling our Americans that are there to head south along with the Palestinians that are evacuating.
Yep.
So not only are there over a million Palestinians that are having to flood to go south, Americans are being told to do that as well, from what I saw. Americans are confused. Egypt isn't going to open up the corridor. So, you know, what are they supposed to do? I guess yesterday was like the first flight that got out landing in Greece of Americans that were able to get evacuated. And then here's the even more confusing part. If Israel is cutting off, you know, communications, internet, all that, you know, power, electricity, everything like that, well, then how the hell are the Americans that are being told to go there supposed to, like, get the message on where to go and how to get out of there? You know, like, if this is just a clusterfuck in every way.
Yeah, but don't those Americans have dual passport, dual citizenship, the Israeli and American?
No, not all
of
them, no.
I would think so.
You know, some of them are just there working. Some of them are just, you know, they could be vacationing. They could be visiting family. They could be, you know, they might not have dual citizenship.
Right.
Well, who was the one guy that flew a plane into Afghanistan to get some Afghanistan, some of the refugees out and some of the Americans out that weren't at the airport? He supposedly got a bunch. He's got a whole plane load full of Americans, but they didn't say where he was flying to.
I don't know.
That's probably a good thing. You know.
Yeah.
Because you don't want anybody from either side, you know, shooting them down with a rocket, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
tensions are so high right now.
The Joe Biden administration should send planes there to bring the Americans out. Simple as that, like every other country. Like China done when they had the problems in Libya. They sent one of the biggest damn ships I ever seen. They brought all the Chinese out. But this administration that you have in office now ain't worth a clusterfuck.
No, they still haven't said anything about it.
some of the weapons that's being used to kill everybody is some of those that was probably coming from the Afghanistan catch that Joe Biden left there in Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's already reports on that, which, of course, you know, on my show last week, last Sunday, I was like, how long before we start seeing reports that the, you know, these missiles and equipment and stuff that Hamas is using are American-made? And sure enough, it only took a few days, but I saw those reports, you know, that, yep, you know, some of that equipment that they're using is, you know, has the good old USA stamped on it. And that's where they got it from.
Let me
from the Taliban. Taliban going, hey, yeah, we're going to support you. By the way, we have some really awesome technology and equipment here for you. What's up?
Yeah.
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Hello? Okay. Let me
Hello?
Get three,
yeah, I can hear you, but you sound far away.
Well, scam. This phone. I'm on my phone. 336, you're on.
All righty. Well, you know, there was a guy that filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration. I think it was last year he filed it, actually. And Trump put a stop to the money, actually, but Biden reversed it. $2 billion was funded to Hamas, actually. So by the Biden administration. So, so I posted on Facebook, actually, the lawsuit alleges Biden administration illegally funded the Palestinian Authority even as it continued its pay-to-slay program. So Trump put a stop to it, and then Biden reversed it, of course. So Biden should be arrested for helping fund terrorism. He should be arrested and, if convicted, obviously, you know, whatever punishment may be, but he should not be the president of the United States anymore.
Yeah, it's aiding and abetting. Unknown enemy.
Well, yeah, especially if it's the policy of the United States. If it's the policy of the United States to have a treaty with Israel, whether people agree with it or not, doesn't matter. It was still the policy that was set forth by the Congress and the administration before Biden. And if Biden is funding terrorist groups, and they are designated a terrorist group, Hamas, then that's a crime. If I gave money to Hamas, I would go to prison. So why doesn't Biden go to prison? You know, if you or I gave money to Hamas, we would go to prison. So why, you know,
okay,
that's what pisses me off.
The money he's given to Hamas, is it because they are the de facto government of Palestine right now, of the Palestinian people, or...
They're
terrorists. They're designated a terrorist organization. They're not a part of the government.
They are. Hamas is you know, they were elected, what was it, like 20 years ago or something, and they haven't allowed any elections ever since. So Hamas
is self-appointed.
Technically the governing body of the Palestinian territory.
Hamas is not a country. They're just a bunch of people. You're never going to get all of them because they just blend in with the crowd. That's what they are.
Yeah, when Yasser Arafat died, they self-appointed themselves after Yasser Arafat died. So, and they've been in there since 2006. Now, the Palestinian people, like I said, if they're so innocent in this, then why can't they root them out? Why can't, you know, if these are bad people within your government or within your land, you know, why not root them out, you know, or ask for help to get them out? I mean, you know, it's just why hide them under your hospitals and your schools with underground tunnels? You know, I mean, it just doesn't make sense because they're just as guilty. You know, they're complicit with the idea of Hamas. Look, they want to eliminate and kill all the Jews. That's what they believe. That's their agenda, jihad. They hate, and also they hate America. They want to kill America. Any type of Western policy or infidels, that's what they call us, infidels, anyone who's a Christian or who is a non-believing Muslim is worthy of death in their philosophy and in their book. So you're worthy of death. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or not. And that's what they believe. Same thing with the 5%ers. The 5%ers believe the same exact thing. You're worthy of death. Yeah. You're right. But everybody wants to pander to them. Yeah, well, you know, they're innocent, you know, well, you know, they got it tough, and, you know, no. These people want to kill us regardless. You know, they're our enemy. They're not our friend. They don't care about the land. They can care less. They just want to kill every single Jew that's over there. And if you're an American, they'll kill you too. That is their policy.
Yeah, that is their policy. You're right. And if Biden gave them money, I don't understand why in the hell he isn't in some trouble.
Yeah. Yep. Because the media won't report it. That's why. They won't talk about things like that.
I know he gave Iran $6
billion.
Iran gave Hamas some money. I don't know how much.
It was their money. He just released it so he could get the...
It doesn't matter.
The hostages back.
Yeah, we got to pay for hostages.
The five.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well... I don't know. It seems like everything's going to hell in a handbasket. All of a sudden. Yeah. You know, we went 4 years pretty smooth without a war. And here we are. 3 hours.
Yeah.
3 years later, we're in a mess.
Well, we had social unrest in this country because when Trump was president, because we had the moonbats out there, you know, every single time a black guy got pulled over, you know, everybody's racist, and, you know, we had that, the BLM, which is also a terrorist organization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me get Sarge, I think, is guy. Sarge, is that
yeah,
you?
Yeah, Americans don't turn in their terrorists. And Israel got guilt on its hand. Look when Nigeria was trying to get technology so they could fight off Boko Haram, which was attacking Nigeria in the northern region, using weapons that came out of the Libya fiasco. Obama told he wasn't going to do it. He told Israel don't do it. He told Brazil don't do it.
Yep. Well, it is me, by the way. And unless anyone, hey Johnny, how you doing, guys? Unless anyone think that Joe was exaggerating, let me give you a few sound bites, or rather a few excerpts from the Hamas Charter, which was created in 1987 and revised in 2017. Just let you hear what they wrote in there. Now remember, our declaration said, and it was a fight. But in our founding creed, the Declaration, all men are created equal and down by the grave, and they will be right. That was in the creed,
right.
Yeah. We had to work a little bit to live up to it completely, but at least that was the aspiration from the beginning. When Israel was founded, they said in their constitution that they wanted to uphold the full social and political equality of all its citizens without distinction of race, creed, or sex. That's what they said in their Declaration of Independence, okay? Now, again, and remember, Palestinian Arabs in Israel who are Israeli citizens are full and complete citizens with all the rights of Israeli citizens, okay? But let's look at what Hamas says in their charter. It says, the first version of the charter, again, it was created in 1987. They adopted it in 1988, and they don't say we the people. They say Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. Then it goes on to say in there, and they quote a hadith, a prophetic saying from Islam. And they say, the day of judgment will not come about until Muslims fight Jews and kill them. Then the Jews will hide behind rocks and trees, and the rocks and trees will cry out, O Muslim, there is a Jew hiding behind me. Come and kill him. And then when they revised charter that they came out with, and like I said, in 2017, they kind of softened some of the Islamist rhetoric somewhat.
They said that they always said that the Palestine should exist from the river to the sea, which means no more Israel. Because in order to get to the sea, you got to go through Israel. So that's what they mean when they say, we hear them say from the river to the sea, we're talking about sea, the Israelis being pushed into the sea. And all throughout the charter, you hear things like Palestine is a land that was seized by a racist, anti-human, colonial Zionist project that was founded on a false promise, the Balfour Declaration. And, and all throughout it, you hear calls for armed resistance. And it more than say what the rights of their own people are, they are singularly focused on destroying and obliterating the state of Israel. Their whole charter is a testament to the destruction of Israel. Not about what they're going to do for their people and what they're intended to do, almost nothing. Like I said, that's right in their charter.
So as you know, the Israeli government won't let Palestinians develop the pockets and reserve natural gas right offshore. So I disagree when you say that they have full rights.
No. I'm talking, they're not Israeli citizens. I mean, the Palestinian Arabs who went to Israel and became Israeli citizens. The Arabs who live in Israel who are citizens, they have full rights. I'm not talking about the Palestinians living in Gaza. No, they don't. That's true. They don't. No. Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank do not have Israeli citizenship. No. In fact, the Palestinian Authority governs Gaza and the West Bank.
So they had to give up their citizenship. I don't know. I think they still could.
No, they never had citizenship in Israel, actually, because the ones who fled from Israel never went back to Israel to claim it. The ones that did and were accepted as citizens are full citizens. In fact, they even got one privilege that other Israeli citizens don't have. They're not required to serve in the army. They can volunteer to serve in the army, but they're not going to be drafted into the army. And so in that respect, they got even a privilege other Israelis don't have.
Well, I know when they done the airlift of the Ethiopians out of Gondor, when they got back in three operations, Operation Abraham, Solomon, I think Operation Moses, and I think if I told you the other day, they made the males recircumcise themselves, and I know that they don't have full citizenship, but they still refer to them as Palasha rather than Better Israel.
Well, there are some problems with the Ethiopian Jews that are over there, and they have the claim of discrimination. But I guess that shouldn't be a surprise, given that they're relatively recent arrivals, and there's always a problem like that. The main point is they are in Israel. Israel went and got them and brought them there. Jews were expelled from every one of the neighboring Arab countries and not allowed to return. They were completely kicked out. They had to go on pain of death.
And that's
a big difference.
Yeah, but the Better Israel there in Gondor were not expelled. I tell you something else, too. When you look at old seafarers' map, like the map of the ancient sea kings, what we call the Atlantic Ocean was called on their map the Ethiop Sea, and also the Mediterranean Sea. No, the Ethiop Ocean and the Ethiop Sea. So it's a lot of, people just.
Well, there's double pissed off in both directions. The problem is, though, look, people are talking about proportionate responses. In warfare, there ain't no such thing as a proportionate response. There just ain't. I mean, they bombed 2,500 people on Pearl Harbor Day. 2,500 people. By the end of the war, something like 660,000 Japanese civilians were dead from aerial bombing from the United States. And let's not talk about the 650,000 dead Germans from aerial bombing from the United States. There's nothing proportional about modern warfare. It just doesn't exist. The thing you want to do is to prevent it from happening in the first place. And there's no doubt whatsoever that no sovereign country on earth can endure that kind of attack without a significant response. You just cannot expect it. No sovereign country on this planet, even the worst of them, can endure something like this and not make a significant response and still claim to be a sovereign country that's supposed to protect its citizens. It just ain't going to happen. It didn't happen with the United States. It wouldn't happen with any nation on the planet, nor would I expect it to.
Well, I hear what you say, but you know you got a problem there. You got U.S. weapons being used to kill people over there, including America.
That's true. There's going to be consequences for that, too. This is war. I'm telling you, this is ugly. There's no escaping it now. I don't know where this cycle is going to end. You're right. They're going to look, when people, the world sees what's going to happen to the Gazan people already fleeing the country, they're going to be double refugees now. They're all over the world. That's going to be awful. The suffering of those people is going to be immense. I'm not with these people who say they need to wipe the Palestinians out. I don't like that kind of bloodthirsty thought. I never have. I never will. Not all Palestinians are involved in this, and they don't deserve this kind of fate. But it just happens. When people do shit like this, it's just going to happen. And it's happening right before our eyes. That's why war is so god-awful. It really is.
And that's why it's important not to be complicit with corruption and crime. And that's why we're doing over here in America. We're complicit with these international bankers, the Federal Reserve. We're allowing them to commit crimes around the world. We're Americans. We're supposed to be that. We're better than that. We're not supposed to let these people be corrupt and these politicians be corrupt, but yet we do nothing about it. We're on vacation. We're watching football. We're guilty, too. You know, we're talking about our government being corrupt. Well, what are we doing about it? You know, we should
be doing something
about it.
You're absolutely right. And there's pictures of Israeli with dead Palestinian children, women, and men. I mean, those pictures can go for either side. But what Joe just said is most pertinent. Look at your cities. Your cities under siege with terrorists, especially in your black areas, and nothing is being done.
Chicago, look at Chicago. How many shootings this weekend are they going to have? The gangs taking over, you know, the crimes. People can't go shopping because they're robbed and mugged. You know, it's just terrible.
Well, I hate to say it, fellas, but Hamas in Gaza has been prepared for this for a long time. They're going to be hiding all the sewers and all the rat holes in Gaza. This thing is not going to be over anytime soon, I don't think. And it's going to get worse. Yeah, and now I've heard rumors that Iran is saying that if they don't stop the incursion into Gaza, they are prepared to intervene. Now, what do you think that might lead to?
Let them try it.
But that's what they're saying. I mean, they couldn't defeat Iraq in 8 years, so I'd like to remind folks, they couldn't defeat Iraq in 8 years. Okay, they had a war with Iraq for 8 years, and they couldn't defeat Iraq. So maybe they only did twice.
When George Bush went over there the first time.
No. I mean the Iran-Iraq war. Remember?
The Iran-Iraq war
was an eight-year war, and the Iranians could not defeat the Iraqis.
Yeah, I know. Well, Iran's more sophisticated now. They have their military is pretty strong, but it's nothing compared to us. I mean, we already got our Navy's already over there ready, so we're already ready.
Let me tell you what they said. This is what they said. This is from their they sent a message through the UN. They sent it to the UN. I think the Security Committee of the UN, and they say that Iran might intervene if the IDF operation in Gaza continues. Now, where could that escalate? Who is currently allying themselves with Iran?
Russia
and China. There you go. North Korea.
Yep.
Now, I'm not saying it's going to lead to this. I'm saying it could. And we have to at least prepare ourselves for the possibility that could happen.
I'm all ready for it. Let's go. Well, enough talk. To hell with it. Let's get it going. Best man wins.
Yes, I'm not. Like I said, we need to really start.
You know, Sarge, you're tired of this evil crap around the world. How long have we been talking about this now? North Korea, Iran. Ever since I was a little boy, I remember Iran, the hostage crisis. You know what? To hell with it already. We got such a strong military, then let's use it. You know, to hell with it. They want to kill us, death to Americans. Well, let's do it.
Well, here's another message from Amir Abdollahian, the Iran's foreign minister. He said, Israel must stop this attack on Gaza before it's too late. There's another one.
Too late? You know, I don't know.
I think it may already be too late.
Yeah, it is too late already, yeah. They're going in, it's a Sabbath right now over there, so right after the Sabbath they're going in, ground troops are going in.
They're going to soften them up first, but look, they're going to have to drop more bunker busters down there to get them guys that are hiding underground. They are going deep underground. They have been prepared for this. And they're going to be ready to come out.
300 miles of tunnels.
I know. You've got to send troops in there if you're going to get them. There's no bombing has never won a war by itself, ever. You've got to send people on the ground. You got to have infantry go in and dig them out. And that's when it's going to become ugly.
They are. They're going to do it. They're preparing for war on all fronts, getting their allies ready. Everybody's getting ready because they know like you just said, Iran. We already know it's just you're getting ready for World War III right now. That's what's going on. Trust me. You're just not being told that in the media. Ask anybody in the military.
And look at the way this pitiful army, the armed forces we got right now. They've been weakening it for the last 3 years, 4 years.
They have.
3 to 4 years. And now we got to go to war. You got to go to war with the army you got, not the army you wish you had. And I ain't confident. I even though I think we're still powerful, but the question is how many of our guys are going to have to die exerting the power that we wouldn't have to lose if we were what we should be.
See the new aircraft they got that's more advanced than the Raptor? They got 5 of them now built, right? They got little like laser. They got the spinning radar on it. Oh, it's crazy, Sarge. How it, the stealth capabilities on it, and it could shoot an enemy out of the sky from like, I think they said 500 miles, but I'm not sure. But it was crazy.
But Joe, have you not been keeping up the stories about how difficult it is to maintain these aircraft at operational readiness status?
Well, that's great,
they work and all those systems are working. They're probably the greatest thing that's ever flown. The problem is, if they're not up to operational readiness standards, they're utterly useless, sitting on the ground. They can't keep flying at the rate they're expected to keep them flying.
They got Operation Blue Beam, Harp Tower. They'll get that going. They'll zap them. There'll be an earthquake over there. Trust me. They know what they're doing. They got technology that'll blow your mind.
Well, if we're forced to fight, and we're going to be forced into it by this horrid administration and their absolute lack of any kind of foreign policy that works to our best interest, I hope they know what they're doing.
Well, that's the problem.
The problem is we got Biden as the president of the United States and his horrid administration.
That's the problem right there. That's your problem, and you got a weak rubber-stamped Congress. So, that's the problem right there. You know? I mean, it's bad. It's really bad.
It can't get no worse, man. It can't get no worse than this.
That's what's scary, man. That's really scary. You got a president who doesn't even know what day of the week it is. You know? Oh, man.
Yeah, I heard something about Kamala Harris. Oh, God. Oh, man.
Then I heard something in the news today about Biden's burning up the phone lines both sides. What is he telling them about? Hair snipping? Or some story about corn pop? You know, I had corn pop with the chain in the swimming pool. And what the fuck? What is he burning up the lines with? Bidenisms? Lord have mercy.
I don't know. It's bad. I think something's going on already. I think there's something going around. I don't know if I really should say, but I talked about it a few weeks ago where, you know, Biden's really not. I don't know how to say it really, but you know, they could get him out of there. Trust me. He's not legitimate. He's not. It's not really even legitimate on the world stage. Biden, it's a de facto corporation in Washington D.C. I mean, it's not even. I mean, when you start getting down to it, it's a rubber stamped Congress. Like I told you, it's not even legitimate. Oh. I mean, these people—they're fake.
What was the constitutional amendment that Nancy Pelosi wanted to make sure that they could use, and then she turned around and said it was not because of Trump. Just before Biden was elected.
The 25th Amendment.
They were talking about invoking
the 25th Amendment against Trump. Like he was incapacitated and couldn't do the job because he's crazy.
No.
But no,
because Nancy Pelosi came out and said it's not about Trump because it was during the election. And it had nothing to do with Trump.
I think it's the 14th, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, but he was acquitted at the Senate trial at that. He got acquitted when they got impeached the second time. Yeah, a week before he left office, or 10 days before he left office, he was impeached. He had a Senate trial, and he got acquitted.
It's not about Trump, she said.
Yeah.
Well,
and I think it was because they weren't too thrilled about Biden at the time, is what I was getting the idea.
Well, the only, it wasn't an amendment. They were saying that Trump might invoke an emergency declaration of martial law to suspend a transfer of power. But that's not a constitutional amendment.
Yeah, no, it was against the sitting president. Whatever they were going to try and invoke, they wanted to know if they could still invoke it, what they needed to do to invoke it. And they kept saying, you know, he might not even win the election. And she said, it's not about President Trump.
Yeah,
the only amendment that deals with removal of a president is in Article 2. We're dealing with impeachment and removal from office. There's no other constitutional provision other than the 25th Amendment that deals with replacing the president. There are no other constitutional amendments that deal with that. None.
Okay.
So whatever she was talking about couldn't have been in the Constitution.
What she's leading to is the 14th Amendment, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Especially against, you know, with Trump, the part that says no person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector or president or vice president or hold any office, blah, 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 and you get down that shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof, but Congress may by a vote of 2/3 of each house, remove such disability. so I think that last section in there, but Congress may, with a vote of 2/3 of each house, remove such disability.
None of that could possibly
referring to, because I think that's what Pelosi was referring to.
None of that could possibly apply to Donald Trump. Not a single phrase in that clause, Section 3, could possibly apply to Donald Trump.
The Raskin's bill she was referring to in May of 2017, she was talking about it.
Yeah, that's a bill, and that's not an amendment to the Constitution. But, so that's a bill that never even became law,
yep.
right?
And now I just pulled up an article. Pelosi, this is from January 4th of even 2013. Pelosi favors the use of the 14th Amendment to avoid a debt ceiling. She really likes to point out the 14th Amendment, apparently. And then in 2021, Democrats cite rarely used part of the 14th Amendment in new impeachment article. That was in 2021. Pelosi was behind that. Pelosi and the 14th Amendment, she just seems to really have some kind of fixation on using the 14th Amendment to get what she wants.
Yeah, she was referring to Section 4 of the 14th Amendment. That's, Section 4 says the validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounties for services, insurrection, or rebellion, shall not be questioned. That's the statute. That's the part of Section 4 she was referring to.
Well, the 13th or the 14th Amendment.
In regard to the debt ceiling.
Right,
It does refer to Section 3 of the 14th Amendment gives Congress the authority to bar public officials who specifically took an oath of allegiance to the U.S. Constitution from holding office if they engaged in the insurrection or rebellion against the Constitution and therefore broke their oath, but the provision has rarely been used or tested. So it is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment that Pelosi and the Democrats wanted to use against Trump back in 2021.
But you know what, Lori? This cannot possibly apply to a president because you'll notice in the section it doesn't mention the president or the vice president, but it specifically mentions senators and representatives. Now, if they intended to apply it to the president, don't you
think? And the electors,
Since they're higher, they would have specifically said no person shall be a president or vice president or senator or representative of Congress or elector. But they didn't. They specifically left out the president and the vice president. So it doesn't even apply there.
Yeah, but the 13th and 14th wasn't properly ratified.
Well, you know, we can't. They're not going to allow us to revisit that. Not without a revolution.
Section 4, whatever
the
vice president.
Yeah, the thing is that why are they using something that really isn't the law? And also, you talk about insurrection of the states. Those southern states didn't insurrect. They quit. They left.
I agree with you, but the problem is everybody believes the 14th Amendment was properly ratified. We can't get anybody to listen to us. Everybody believes it was ratified properly. We know it wasn't. They kicked the southern states out, and the Constitution specifically says no state can be denied suffrage in the Senate or the House of Representatives. But that's exactly what they did in order to ratify the 14th Amendment. We cannot get this issue revisited, at least not for the foreseeable future.
What? Why not, Sarge? Why not?
Because no one's going to accept it. Everybody, here's what's going to happen. Let me tell you what the demagoguery is going to be if we try to get this properly revisited. They're going to say, you want to put black people back and not make them citizens anymore. You want to take away their citizenship and make them slaves. They're going to say the simplistic bullshit and the dummies, the idiocracy that's been educated in these colleges and through the media are going to repeat it endlessly. And the people who bring it up are going to be made to look like fools.
Okay.
Now, like I said, we know this thing historically was not ratified properly. That meant it should be revisited. But we just can't get it done.
Joe Gibson, just like you asked why come the Palestinians don't root out the Hamas, well, why do the United States citizens don't root out this corruption that's going on within their own government?
No. I mean, you're right. I mean, Pianki is absolutely right. It was not ratified properly. It's right to be revisited because it's a constitutional issue. Every issue that deals with constitutionality is eligible for review by the Supreme Court, and I guarantee fucking to you they will not even consider looking at it, not even Clarence Thomas.
Well, the court said it needs to be corrected in Congress. Congress not going to do it because the people of the United States that vote the Congress in is not going to take the effort up upon themselves.
President,
I guess you say snitching brings stitches. Well, you can't ask other countries' people to do it when they got terrorists amongst them in their population, and we're not making an example to do it yourself.
The last de jure President James Buchanan from 1857 to 1861 was the 15th, and the last de jure lawful full-term non-martial law president of the Republic, all right? So it says, as president, he was often called as what? The Doughface. That was his nickname. A northerner from Pennsylvania, you know, with southern sympathies. So if you go back to that time in Now Stars, right, if that was the last de jure president, okay, so what happens after that now? If it's an illegitimate government that's seated, what happens? If not, everything that happens after that is null and void. It doesn't, it's not valid. It's de facto. The government of the United States, go ahead.
But I'm just thinking, as a practical matter, how would it be even possible to unravel all of that? Answer, it wouldn't be. You'd have to dissolve the entire government and everything else. And everything would be up for grabs. Because
why
it would be
can't
impossible.
We use Northwest?
It would
Northwest
be impossible.
Oregon.
It would be impossible to unravel the impact of all the illegitimate decisions based upon an illegitimate constitutional amendment. It'd be impossible to do it.
Can use the Northwest Ordinance.
Look, it was ratified in 1868. That means every single decision that was based upon that amendment, every single precedent, every single ruling of a common law court, which was all of them, all the way up to the Supreme Court, every action undertaken by the Department of Justice, every presidential executive order ever issued, predicated on the 14th Amendment, would have to be unraveled somehow. I don't know how that's possible to do.
Well, Sarge, but you can use the Northwest Ordinance. We went over that, remember, with the Republic shows, remember?
Okay, that would be fine for a new starting point, but whenever the courts are asked to do something, they're asked for a remedy. What is the remedy you are seeking under this a suit you're bringing before the Supreme Court? They always ask for the remedy. And the court is going to have to ask, is there a remedy the Supreme Court can issue? I don't see what kind of remedy they can issue based on this. How are they going to remediate this after over 155 years?
You keep saying time like it's a big deal. If it was 1,000 years, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Whatever happened after that point is null and void. If it happened a crime is a crime. The government was hijacked. We got to go time before that.
Again, you have to unravel every single precedent that's based on it. And that's 155 years of jurisprudence.
Got to start someplace.
Well, that's why I tell you, I can guarantee you, that reason and that reason alone is why they will never revisit this. This is the reason why they're never going to do it.
Well, that's what the people have to make happen. We can't ask others in other countries to do things that we in the United States aren't willing to do ourselves. Simple as that. That decision in 1948 was a bad decision. Shouldn't have went in there and took them folks' land. And that's it. Now you're going to suffer for it.
Well, what do you mean they took them folks' land? What are you talking about? They didn't take no land from anybody.
That was Palestinian land.
No, it wasn't. There's no such thing as Palestine. No such thing. There's no such thing as Palestine.
Joe Gibson, those whites that's running Israel today from Poland and Germany, they did not originate in that land.
Oh, so let's give it back to the Romans then. The Romans took it in 70 AD.
Let me tell you what the first Congress of Muslim Associations, when they met in Jerusalem in February 1919, to choose Palestinian representatives for the Paris Peace Conference. Now, this is in 1919, right after the Ottoman Empire fell. This is what they said. This was the resolution they put out. These are Palestinians saying this. We consider Palestine as part of Arab Syria, as it has never been separated from it at any time. We are connected with it by national, religious, linguistic, natural, economic, and geographical bonds. That is what they said then. They said similar statements in official pronouncements after that.
So who was in the land, Sarge? So when the Romans ruled the land before 70 A.D. in Jerusalem and Israel and the Jews were all destroyed in 70 A.D., who ruled it then? Jews still had a country then. They were under Roman rule. Okay, and then they were scattered abroad after 70 A.D., okay? Now, if you want to speed up the time to 1897 when they addressed it, because that's before then, okay, that's when they really addressed it, the land of Israel, to be given back to the Jews. You know, the history, nobody understands the history. This is what they teach in the colleges and universities, that stuff, Palestine. No, it's no, no Palestine. Who is it, Palestine? Who is it? There are
the
60
show,
different
the
kings.
The maps show, ancient maps show of Palestine.
Ancient maps copyrighted by who?
Ain't no copyright
by,
back then.
Who were they made up by?
That area was controlled by Egypt. You had a Pelusian War. Those were the Palestinians.
Where were the Jews? When did you tell me the Jews never had a land? They never had a land then?
Well, hell, Sammy Davis Jr. is a Jew.
No. That's my question, though. Where were the Jews back then? Where was the Jews? What land was promised to them?
The Khazars was in Germany and Poland.
Okay, here's another Arab leader, a guy named Ani Bey Abdul Hadi. This is what he told the Peel Commission, which ultimately suggested a partition of Palestine, Palestine being an independent Muslim state and Israel being a Jewish state. This is when the Peel Commission was looking at petitioning two states. This is what a leader, a Palestinian Arab leader, Ani Bey Abdul Hadi, told the Peel Commission when they asked him for his opinion. A quote, "There is no such country as Palestine. Palestine is a term the Zionists invented. There is no Palestine in the Bible. Our country was for centuries part of Syria."
The Bible is not a history book.
But I don't know of any Arab leader prior to 1967 ever saying, and I've looked at the major Arab leaders from the 1915 all the way up to 1970. Not one of them ever said Palestine had ever been a country. Not one. In fact, they all explicitly denied it.
If you're going to believe the Bible, then that means that the Ham story, which was created by some rabbis in Zambia in 70 A.D., that means that all black people are cursed.
Well, that's why I try to avoid the religious argument. I like to stick with the historical argument, because the historical argument has got a lot more basis to decide who really owns what. And I'm telling you, the Arabs always considered the West Bank to be part of Syria. They considered the Gaza region to be part of what once upon a time was either part of the Levant that the Ottoman Empire controlled or part of the old Judah. That part, they never considered to be an independent Arab country. I couldn't find one Arab statesman who would say such a thing. It's amazing how they were emphatic to deny that it ever was.
You know, when Senator and the Assyrians was marching down on Y-U's room, it wasn't a J, it was a Y, it wasn't no J's in the alphabet. That land was controlled by Yahwehans, which were breakaway Kushites. Hell, they had a battle, a real live battle in 701 B.C. And it's mentioned about in the Bible, that the Bible plagiarizes, in 2 Kings 19:35.
Well, is the Bible true or not?
What it does is use real live people's names and plagiarize them, put them in places that it never was, in events that never happened.
Now, why would they do that? Why is that? Why would they do that? Why the Bible? Why would some God? So God, I know God didn't write the Bible. Men wrote the Bible. I know. So because God's not powerful enough to inspire a man to write his word. I know. But anyway, why would the Bible do that?
Because men did that. You just said it. Thank you.
So men did that. So God doesn't have any power, right? There's no God.
Well, Joe DeGibson, this earth has seen over stories of at least 16 to 25 crucified Christ. 16
really?
To 25.
Well,
I mean,
really?
That's just what people do.
I never heard of that, but can you name me one?
Well,
I mean, so you're telling me that there's 25 Jesus Christ?
There's a lot of things you haven't heard about. Yeah, hell, we always talk about the education system miseducate, don't we?
Listen, many scholars and mathematicians have tried to disprove the Bible, and they can't, and they couldn't. Fact.
Anybody that wants to sell a book will try to disprove any damn thing.
Pinocchio, the events of the Bible are happening right before our very eyes right now today, for goodness sake. They're happening.
Yeah, and tomorrow, some event will happen that has happened to man at some point in time in their chronological history that they wrote about.
Tell me about that, though. We're talking about events that were foretold thousands of years ago. They're happening right now. How is that happening?
You know, the world's supposed to have been coming to an end since Mount Vesuvius eruption.
I never heard of that.
Thutmose III went into Mexico and destroyed it. That's where the word Armageddon came from, because people looked and said it looked like the end of the world when he got done. So that's what people do.
Okay, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay, now here's another thing for your consideration, gentlemen. Now, I got this book by Hilaire Kahneman, Army of Shadows, published in 2008. And in the book, he's writing about a letter that a mayor of Haifa named Hassan Shukuri. He was the mayor of Haifa and the president of the Muslim National Association. Now, this has to do with the fact that people say the Jews stole the land from the Palestinians and kicked them off their land and all that other stuff. And this is what he wrote to the British government in reaction to a delegation of Palestinians that went to London to try to stop the Balfour Declaration from being implemented. This is what the mayor wrote to the British government. Quote, "We are certain that without Jewish immigration and financial assistance, there will be no future development of our country, as may be judged from the fact that the towns inhabited in part by Jews, such as Jerusalem, Jaffa, Haifa, and Tiberias, are making steady progress, while Nablus, Acre, and Nazareth, where no Jews reside, are steadily declining and the population suffering."
That's probably true, Sarge. But if the Palestinians was allowed to develop their own natural gas offshore, they would have enough money to do all of that and more.
More money? They need more money. How many billions do they need for that tiny little 12-mile strip of land?
The problem is
they've taken all the money that they've been given to buy weapons to kill us.
That's the way it is. When United States is giving millions upon millions to the countries in South America and Central America, and the people still are leaving there because they say they're being mistreated. I mean, that's the way people
in Israel.
And leaders do.
That has to do with Israel.
It has to do this. When you have crooked people, no matter where they are, they do for themselves and not for the population.
What's that got to do with it? We know that, but what are you talking about here? We were talking about Palestinians and their money and to do for themselves. They've been given enough money over the last 20 years.
All right, let me say it again. If they were allowed to develop their own natural resources, one being natural gas in the ocean, not in the sea there, offshore, then they would be able to take care of their own self, wouldn't they?
Why? It's not their land. It's not their, that's not their ports to develop
it
natural gas.
Theirs.
It doesn't belong to them.
Well, they look like they from the area more so than them Zionists that's there.
The Palestinian. Who's Palestinian? What? Where do they come from? They're Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Saudi
they've
Arabia. They're all different mix of
there,
people.
They've been there for a long, long time.
Well, the Jews were there first, and God said, I'm giving it to you, Abraham, not anybody else. And you know what? God's going to make it happen.
Jews,
well,
if you look at the people, you can tell that they are not from there.
It doesn't matter. God said, I'm giving it to them, and it's going to happen. And no matter what we say, God's going to make it happen.
And what did Allah say to them?
Allah's a moon god. We already know about, you know, in his little black box or whatever he came from. Allah's no such thing as Allah and Prophet Muhammad.
So now you are demonstrating, you're demonstrating bad behavior. Why do you want to disrespect those gods?
No, I'm not. Prophet Muhammad?
Disrespect those people's faith?
Disrespect their faith that says they want to kill me?
Encyclopedia Britannica under Abraham, it said he sucked his thumb for 10 years and became a man.
Maybe he did.
True?
I don't know. The point being, but we're talking about Allah and Prophet Muhammad. You really believe that he descended into heaven, the Prophet Muhammad? He descended into heaven.
Well,
even though we know where his body's buried.
Well, do you believe that Enoch went to heaven without dying?
Listen, I got one thing to say about that. Listen, we have an empty tomb. There's no body. Jesus did, okay, he rose again. There's no body. Empty tomb. There you go. And I can prove you God exists. The word is Jew.
You have 16 to 25 others before him that did the same thing.
Well, I don't know about them.
All right, here are the four premises that the people who live in Israel claim they have a right to. Now, I'm not saying I necessarily agree with it. I say this is what they say is their claim to land. Because remember, for me, I'm for the United States. I'm not for Israel. I'm not for the Gaza. I'm just for historical fact and truth. That's what I'm for. And here's what the Jewish people, remember, again, I want to stress this. I am for the United States. I want our best interests to prevail. But I still want the historical record to be accurate and clear. And the Jewish people in Israel are saying their claim to Israel is based on these four premises. Number one, the Jewish people settled and developed the land. Number two, the international community granted political sovereignty in Palestine to the Jewish people via the League of Nations mandate and the United Nations partition. Three, the territory was captured in defensive wars like the Six-Day War when four Arab armies were massing on the borders of Israel to drive the Israelis into the sea. And finally, God promised the land to the patriarch Abraham. Now, the fourth premise is the only religious one in the bunch. All of the other three are based on things that are historical fact. And finally, this. Even after the second temple in Jerusalem was destroyed and the Jews were exiled, Jewish life in the land of Israel was continuous. There were Jewish communities established in Jerusalem and Tiberias by the 9th century. In the 11th century, Jewish communities existed in Rafa, Gaza, Ashkelon, Jaffa, and Caesarea. The Crusaders massacred a lot of Jews during the 12th century, but the community rebounded in the next 2 centuries because all kinds of Jews and rabbis and Jewish pilgrims emigrated to Jerusalem and Galilee. So you had prominent rabbis establishing communities in Safed, Jerusalem, and elsewhere during the next 300 years. Jews have had a continuous presence in the region for at least 3,500 years or more.
Well, I don't know about 3,500 years, but the United States tell Americans they need to get rid of their gas fuel automobiles, and they need to take shots. So you mean to tell me that the United Nations, when at that time with the League of Nations, they was not jealous in what they were prescribing? And as far as things been developed, I said to you before, if you was getting all this aid from other peoples to develop that, but if the Palestinians had the possibility to develop their own natural resources.
I know,
wouldn't
they're just such
different?
Good people. I know.
Don't
they're just such innocent
people. Don't they
people.
Say that about Africa? And you know the one thing that pisses me off? Why did they give South African apartheid government nuclear weapons? Who are they going to use them on, Russia?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I know I saw those all day long. I was watching the demonstrations in New York and out there in California and a few in Chicago, and a lot of the very same people talking about these same radical nutcases, talking about decolonizing Israel and Palestine and all that. I saw signs saying, Europeans, get out of North America and go back to Europe.
Yep.
I mean, that's the way these people look at this. What are Europeans doing here? They were never here before the Indians. They weren't here before the Indians. They need to get off this land, too. I mean, these people, look, these people who hate Israel
and
want to see it destroyed, they are radical. I mean, they hate
what
the
do
West.
To do about
they
Israel
hate us because they hate
the
us and they hate the West. And they think the Israelis, rather, are allied with the West. And they hate the
That's
West
right.
and they hate us.
Well, I
That's
tell
right.
you what, I'm an American citizen. I support the U.S. Constitution. But I
Me
don't
too.
Support that country over there. No, no, no. Because
I don't necessarily support them either. I don't necessarily support them either. But
sooner or later,
it's
going to happen.
What?
Well, look, I don't support them either. But if their interests coincide with the United States, then I say we ally with them. I don't see any way our interests are ever going to coincide with Hamas. Ever, under any circumstances.
But what do we need that? What do we need that area? If we getting off of oil and go green, you don't need oil from over there no more. So whatever happens in
we don't need it for oil anyway. We got enough of our own. This bastard Biden has got us beholden to the Middle East.
Well,
Trump had us energy independent.
Why are we giving aid to that country when we could be building border walls like they do? Hell,
well, we should
do
border
walls
around America.
Wait a minute. Border walls are in the Bible. What was it that Joshua marched around seven times and blew his horn and it fell down? It was walls.
Well, that's true. Now, see, now we're talking about something we can definitely agree on. We need to be energy independent so we ain't got to rely on the Middle East for nothing. We should have been sticking with Trump's policies. We should have put up a border wall. We should have done all that. But no, we had to let these damn Democrats steal the election and put the senile bastard in the White House who's helped, in great part, has helped bring about this situation of all staring us in the face today. Oh, it makes me so mad every time I think about it. We were on the road to becoming to a new era that could have been rivals the United States after World War II. Trump had us on the road to get it.
George, that radical thinking. Go ahead. Sorry.
It just maddens me, man. You have no idea. Obama and Biden are directly responsible for the situation we're looking at now.
These liberal thinking, this communist Marxist thinking, that is what has infected our country. Like you just said, we were on a roll. We had a good president, a good administration that was on its way to making our economy even stronger. It was a damn good economy we had. There were no wars going on. We had a good foreign, strong foreign policy. Instead, we got this sick agenda infiltrate our elections, corrupt our elections, and now look what we got. Look what we got. This country's being destroyed from within.
No doubt. No doubt whatsoever.
Well, never
no doubt whatsoever.
Well, this is interesting.
Hey, Naj, I'm going on the historical record predominantly. I am citing from historical sources that were publicly made contemporaneously at the time. They're in all the books, the Balfour Declaration, the mandatory, the League of Nations mandate, the United Nations partition plan, which would have created two states, one that was Palestinian and one that was Jewish, that was completely rejected by the Arabs at the time. All of these things are on the record, Naj, and you cannot deny it.
Yeah,
well,
I'm
I don't
really
blame them. I would have rejected
really
too. They talking about giving up
charge.
Half of your sovereignty.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed in Zionist Sarge. Good job, Pianki, holding the line, man. I'm surprised.
No, you're not listening. You don't have anything to respond to what I just said, did you? I want you to respond specifically to any of the points I just made. Again, the mandatory period because the Ottoman – wait a minute, Nash. The Ottoman Empire collapsed. The British had a mandatory period. They turned it over to the League of Nations mediation. They turned it over to the League of Nations for mediation. Then when the League of Nations collapsed after World War II, it went to the United Nations, and the United Nations had a vote. And all those Arab leaders at the time said there was no such nation as Palestine. It had always been part of Syria. Now, I'd like you to deny anything that I just said.
The thing about that, what nations was on the Security Council?
Asking the real questions. There we go.
Wait a minute.
We forget. You had certain nations that had the power, while other nations were not allowed to come to the party.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. But again, out of the nations that voted, there were not, even the nations that exist today that were not there to vote, it still would not have been sufficient to overcome the ones that did.
The vote was overwhelming
for partition.
All nations was not allowed to join. I tell you what, if we could, name the nations that was allowed to do that vote. And I guarantee you.
I'll give you the names in just a minute. I'm going to give you the name.
The good old Western Consensus.
I'm giving you the names. Here's what we do. Here's what we'll do. We'll do a little mathematics experiment. We'll take a look. We'll assume all of the nations that didn't get the vote in 1947 would have voted against the partition. And we'll add them, and then we'll look at the ones that did, and we'll subtract the greater from the larger, and let's see who still prevails in the vote.
You can't do
what
that.
You can't go back in history.
That's ridiculous.
No, well, I mean, you guys are saying that.
You can't
Wait a minute. I know that. I know you can't do it. But you just said that there were countries that were not allowed to vote. Okay, so let's say that they could have been allowed
there
to vote.
Who cares?
Then what would the result have been?
Well, wait a minute. What countries, what was the League of Nations when the Versailles Treaty came down into effect? And they divided up Africa.
Well, wait a minute. The League of Nations was never worth a good goddamn anyway. It couldn't stop anything, and it didn't stop anything.
Well,
the League of Nations was even more toothless.
I know that. Why would you give them credence to make that decision in 1948?
Here's the reason for it. The reason is because the country with the mandate to run the place, Britain. Britain got that territory through conquest. They defeated the Ottoman Empire in battle. Therefore, they were the custodians of that region. That's the way nations have always been created. The British did not want it. That's why they turned the issue over to the League of Nations to mediate. They didn't want it.
They didn't give it back to the people themselves. And also, you're going to talk about Britain. Is the old saying that the sun never set on a British flag on Earth?
But wait a minute.
They did.
Hold on, guys. They did turn
it
over
to
the people.
Let's give it to China.
Look. They did turn it over to the people. Remember, the nations of Syria, the nations of Lebanon, the nations of Iraq, all those nations did not exist before the Ottoman Empire fell. They were all part of the Ottoman Empire.
Those nations were created in the wake of World War II.
In 1967, they tried to destroy Israel.
Oh,
and guess what?
I was living in 1967.
Wait a minute. All of these nations that did get to vote and did have a say in the mandate in the partition process, they didn't exist until after World War One. Syria, Lebanon, Iraq.
Just like we don't want the United Nations voting on what goes on in the United States,
I don't think those country, that country over there wanted it either. And to say that
they didn't exist.
Present day,
but
Palestine is
not
Persia.
A country. Palestine is not
a country.
It has
never been a country. It has never been a country.
It was a country to them. It was a country.
No, it wasn't. It was a country. Well, I'm a country then.
It was
I'm
a country.
Look at my family. This is a country. Well, come on.
You had maps that showed them. You had maps that showed that the international dateline was down the middle of Khufu's pyramid there on the Giza Plateau. How did it get to London?
Wait a minute. The United States was not a nation before July 4th, 1776, and the United States would never have been a nation if it had not been able to defeat the British Empire in battle. That's the way these things work. I hate to tell people this, but that is the way of the world. That is the way of almost every nation that exists.
And that was the way of Egypt, who controlled all the area over there.
Let's go back in time.
Before we go back in time, I'm just amazed. I never thought the weak point for certain people would be Zionism. I never thought.
Will you stick with the point? Will you stop it? Don't try to read my mind. Have you got any point to make? Good God. Hey, look, man, I'm not hiding anything. I am relating to you the historical record, which you have yet to differ with. Would you explain to me why you differ with it? If you differ with my historical account, would you please tell me why you do?
Sorry, the only thing with your historical account is don't go back far enough. It goes back for convenience.
Quit trying to worry about my motives. But don't worry about my motives, Nash.
There was no Ottoman Empire during the time when Iran was Persia and when Iraq was Assyria. No, when Syria was Assyrians. There was no Ottoman Empire.
There you go.
But it was
conquest, baby. Conquest. They conquered. I got to keep telling you, this is why nations have armies, to prevent themselves from being conquered or to conquer. The Ottoman Empire did not exist for the Umayyads and that other family created the Ottoman Empire. The Muslims went on a conquest, and they conquered, and they created a vast empire.
If it wasn't for the United States, $6 billion a year, and the Palestinians were able to develop their own natural resources, they could take care of their own people.
Ah, there we go. Joe,
I'm sorry to say, you need to get your money back from whatever school you went to.
Why are you sticking up for the Palestinians, though? You're not answering the question. I'm sticking up for what's right. What's right? What did Israel do that was so wrong last Saturday when they were attacked by a terrorist group called Hamas? What did they do that was so wrong?
There's pictures and videos of where Palestinian kids have been killed, part of their skull blown off. I mean, that's what people
really?
Do. That's what they do.
Really? The Israeli army is over
never,
there killing Palestinian kids.
I don't like it that they gave South Africa nuclear weapons. What were they going to use this for? What was the apartheid government going to use nuclear weapons for? To fight Russia?
Exactly.
I don't know. What difference does it make? They have
you arguing about some things you don't know, Joe.
I understand y'all don't want to hear nobody else, but hold on a second. Pianki's making great points. And ultimately.
Well, sure he is. Sure he is.
I agree.
Because you're anti-American.
You guys, what happened to taking turns? What happened to actually having a discussion?
The screaming match does nobody any good whatsoever. They don't want me to talk.
God Almighty. Like, this is not happening on my show tomorrow. Suggestion. Valerie will use the mute button.
Suggestion.
If you guys can't actually discuss
you're right. Suggestion. Lori, why don't you moderate? Give us 2 minutes apiece to make a point and make a round robin out of it.
There you go. That works.
Yeah, Donnie, you and Lori, why don't you get, you decide on the time period, make a round robin out of it, and let's do it that way.
That sounds good, Serge. How about 2 minutes? You said it right. And who goes first? Naz, you go
first. Can we let Naz go first? Because we haven't heard what he wants
to say.
Let
Naz go. Let Naz go. I want to hear what he's got to say.
Yeah.
Like he's been drowned out the entire time. Every time he tries to say like two words, he gets drowned out. So hi, Naz. Welcome to the show.
It's not an accident. It's a tactic, Lori. It's not accurate. But no. I think Pianchi is taking the correct position. They're trying to get Pianchi to say, "Hey, you could do you decide that Hamas is correct? If you decide that he's not taking any position or any side. He's just describing the event and saying, okay, it appears this part is wrong, that part is wrong. How do you get to a better consensus or a better answer to all these questions?" Which I think is the honorable position. I think this idea that Americans are browsing into supporting Israel to the point of, I don't know if y'all saw the video that was circulating on social media. It's an old video of Joe Biden, and he's up there, and he basically says, if Israel didn't exist, we'd have to invent it based on its strategic importance of its location. So if you can't understand that part of the conversation, understand what's going on, and you come on here and you repeat talking points and propaganda from, you know, from the Israeli army or from the U.S., where we had Joe Biden come out and say that he saw evidence of babies being murdered, and then the White House had to walk it back because that was the propaganda tool in order to beat the drums for war once again, like we always do. And when you watch something like that, I'm hearing people who always criticize Biden, who've hit on Biden's weak points forever, and you're on the same side as Biden within this conversation. And I'm just like, am I in another world? Like, what is this? Pianchi appears to be principled because as much as he hates Joe Biden, he's not supporting Joe Biden in a situation, or you kind of think about things and say, wait a minute, if I'm in the same position as Joe Biden, maybe I need to rethink my position. So,
2 minutes.
Yeah, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
2 minutes. Who's next?
Oh, that's fine, brother. Go ahead. Pass to the next person.
Okay.
That's you, Donnie. You say, Donnie.
Hello.
You say it, Donnie.
Hello. I think Pianchi should go next. Because the two loudest screamers have been you, Sarge, and then Joe Gibson. So now that Notch had his turn, I think Pianchi deserves his ability to complete a sentence.
Explain it for 10 minutes.
I like being on the defensive.
Okay. All right. Well, who do you want to go next, Donnie? Who do you want to go next?
Go ahead, Sarge.
Okay. I'd like to refer you back to what I said earlier with the Hamas charter, not propaganda, the charter they wrote in 1987 and revised in 2017, in which they specifically called for the destruction and obliteration of Israel. They sharpened it a bit in the revised document in 2017. That does not sound like a group that is willing to come to a compromise. They even included in 2017. The Hadith. I like to remind you what the Hadith from the Prophet Muhammad says. The Day of Judgment will not come about until Muslims fight Jews and kill them. Then the Jews will hide behind rocks and trees, and the rocks and trees will cry out, "O Muslim, there's a Jew hiding behind me. Come and kill him." That is part of their charter now. These people do not wish to come to a compromise with Israel. There may be other Arab countries that do. The Second Abraham Accords is proof of that. The Camp David Accords is proof of that. They are willing to come to an accommodation with Israel. But Hamas, as it is presently constituted, does not wish a compromise with Israel. They only wish its destruction.
Okay. I have no problem with anything Sarge just said. The counter to that would be, when was the last time they had an election? Which would be 2007, which means Hamas is not an elected government. Donnie, let me say this. Which means Hamas is not a elected governing body. The idea that Hamas is a substitute for the Palestinian people is propaganda, and if you buy it, hey, that's your problem. I would encourage you to think better. And then the next thing to think about after Sarge lays that out is, why do you think that Israel is reluctant to negotiate with the PLO or other moderate Palestinians? Why is it that they treat those people like SHIT, so then the people's only option is what? The radical option of Hamas, and then they say, oh, we're being attacked again. It's Hamas. Because they don't want a two-state solution, Sarge. They want to continue to settle the land, commit genocide, and take over and make this a one-state area. And the fact that you can't see that and it's directly in front of you, I don't know what to tell you, brother. Like, from the propaganda stories we've seen proliferate throughout the news this week, like the ability for them to turn the story where you have 2.5 million people living in an open-air prison who you're subjugating and abusing, and you're presenting yourself as the victim when they respond, when, again, you won't make a deal with the moderate side who says, hey, we want peace, we want a solution to this, a two-state solution that everybody can actually benefit from. Instead, you fall for Bibi's rhetoric, where Bibi is basically playing this game, and there's video of Bibi online talking about how he encourages Hamas to be the leading voice of the Palestinians. Why? Because that way, when they respond with violence, he can respond with violence and then justify them settling more of the land. So, yeah, man, you falling for it hook, line, and sinker.
Okay, Bianchi or Joe Gibson, who wants to go next?
Bianchi can go first. Go ahead.
No, you go. I like being on the defense. I told you that.
Okay, that's fine. You know, first of all, we have to understand the history of Israel, number one, because we're all disagreeing on that. We have to understand the facts of the history. You know, even all scholars can agree that Israel's origins can be traced back to Abraham, who is considered to be the father of both Judaism through his son Isaac and Islam through his son Ishmael. Okay? King David ruled the region around 1000 B.C. His son who became King Solomon is credited with building the first holy temple. Okay, in ancient Jerusalem, and that was in about 930 B.C. The area was divided into two kingdoms, Israel in the north and Judea in the south. Around 722 B.C., the Assyrians invaded and destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel. In 568 B.C., the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem and destroyed the first temple, which was replaced by a second temple in 516 B.C. For the next several centuries, the land of modern-day Israel was conquered and ruled by various groups, including the Persians, Greeks, Romans, Arabs, Fatimids, Sajuk, Turks, Crusaders, Egyptians, Mamelukes, Islamics, and others. The Balfour Declaration from 1517 to 1917, what is today Israel, along with much of the Middle East, was ruled by the Ottoman Empire. But World War I dramatically altered the geographical landscape in the Middle East in 1917. At the height of the war, British Foreign Secretary Arthur James Balfour submitted a letter of intent supporting the establishment of a Jewish homeland in Palestine that was called Palestine at that time. The British government hoped that the former declaration, known therefore as the Balfour, would encourage support for the Allies in World War I. When World War I ended in 1918 with an Allied victory, the 400-year Ottoman Empire rule ended also, and Great Britain took control over what became known as Palestine, modern-day Israel. Palestine and Jordan, the Balfour Declaration, and the British Mandate over Palestine were approved by the League of Nations in 1922. Arabs overwhelmingly opposed the Balfour Declaration, concerned that a Jewish homeland would mean the subjugation of Arab Palestinians. The British controlled Palestine until Israel, in the years following the end of World War II, became the independent state in 1947. Conflict between the Jews and Arabs. Throughout Israel's long history, tensions between Jews and Arab Muslims have existed. The complex hostility between the two groups dates all the way back to ancient times when they both populated the area and deemed it holy. Both Jews and Muslims consider the city of Jerusalem sacred. It contains the Temple Mount, which includes the holy sites of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Western Wall, the Dome of the Rock, and more. Much of the conflict in recent years has been centered around who is occupying the following areas. Well, obviously, what we're arguing about here, the Gaza Strip, which is located between Egypt and modern-day Israel, and the Golan Heights, a rocky plateau between Syria and modern-day Israel, the West Bank territory that divides part of modern-day Israel and Jordan. The Zionism movement in the 19th and 20th century, an organized religious and political movement known as Zionism, emerged among Jews. Zionists wanted to reestablish a Jewish homeland. Massive numbers of Jews immigrated to the ancient Holy Land and built settlements between 1882 and 1903. About 35,000 Jews relocated. Another 40,000 settled in the area between 1904 and 1914. Many of the Jews living in Europe and elsewhere, fearing persecution during the Nazi reign, found refuge in Palestine and was known as Palestine at that time, and embraced Zionism. They embraced it now. After the Holocaust and World War II ended, members of the Zionist movement primarily focused on creating an independent Jewish state. Arabs in Palestine resisted the Zionism movement, and tensions between the two groups continue, and the Arab nationalist movement developed as a result. Israeli independence. The United Nations approved a plan to partition Palestine into a Jewish and Arab state in 1947, but the Arabs rejected it. In 1948, Israel was officially declared an independent state with David Ben-Gurion, the head of the Jewish agency, as the prime minister. While the historic event seemed to be a victory for the Jews, it also marked the beginning of more violence, which in 1948 became the Arab and Israeli War, which Israel won. Then you had the 1967 conflict, which Israel won. And now we're leading up to today, and we can go into the Suez crisis and all those crises, the Six-Day War, which I just mentioned, the Yom Kippur War, which was the anniversary, which was last Saturday, where Hamas, which is known as a terrorist, declared a terrorist organization that is supported by Lebanon and Iran to destroy Jews and anyone who has Western influence or believes in Western culture and European culture. So they're out to kill us. That's what they swear to do. That's what they want to do. And they're never going to stop. They don't care about the land. They just, their ideology is to kill people who believe like us. So anyone who's American who supports that type of belief, then you're trying to kill yourself. Because these people, if they rule, want to kill you. There's no deals with the devil. They want to kill you. I yield.
That's right. Okay. Bianchi,
I would love for y'all to see how the Zionists treat Christians who go out there to make their homage out, you know, and get into the seas and everything else and see the Holy Land. I think y'all need to look online and see how the Zionists treat Christians.
Hey, Donnie,
because I think y'all are really confused.
Donnie, I just sent you a text. Play that clip, would you? Go ahead, Nas.
Nas, you got to wait your turn, Nas. Come on now, wait your turn. It's Bianchi's turn.
Well, y'all got so much time.
I need Donnie to play that clip that would constitute part of my turn.
Let me find it. Okay. Oh, that must be it right there, huh? Let me bring my mail back up. I don't have it, Bianchi. You send it to my mail?
I just sent it to you less than 2 minutes ago.
No, I haven't got it yet. Not yet. I thought that was it, but it wasn't. Send it again, Bianchi. I should have had it by now.
Or put it in the chat room. You can pick it up from there.
Yeah, and I don't think reading a Wikipedia entry is actually adding anything. Like, describing these events is one thing. Like, getting into the minutiae is
okay,
kind of a conversation.
You got to wait your turn, Naj. And I'm going to rebut that, too. When I get my turn,
sure
I'm going to rebut everything you just said was historical fact.
I'm sure you are, Naj.
I am, because it's on the record. It was very public at the time it happened.
That's it, Donnie.
There we go.
That isn't it at all. Why aren't you, I don't know why I don't have it.
I got a question. Was it our fault our people were kidnapped in Iran, too, in the early 70s? Was that our fault, too?
Of course not. Of course
well,
not.
Well, you know what the problem
who would,
is there.
Who would say otherwise?
You know what the problem is there? The problem there is that the United States is giving Bhutu amounts of money to shore up our government that come into existence just for that, just like you got going on in look Ukraine. They want money from the United States for their own personal good. It ain't for the people. Same thing happened
in Afghanistan.
It's
how relationships are built, Bianca. That's how political relationships and allies are built around the world.
I understand it. No. Relationships are built
that
like that.
Don't exist anywhere else. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Bianca.
Relationships are built like that when you show up, one, to do harm to others. Yeah, you're right. But see, but that sentiment is going to exist forever. It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys. Sooner or later, they're going to get you.
Okay. Well, Bianca, let me ask you, who should we give money to? Should we give it to a terrorist group who wants to kill us, or should we give it to a country that wants peace? And why am I inside the United States?
Give them
at all.
Well,
let me answer that question.
How about giving
our
money to them at all?
Wait a minute, come on now. You got to let Bianchi finish his statement. Now it's his turn.
That's an easy question. Give it back to the American people so they can put it in their damn pockets.
There we go.
Exactly.
Okay, Johnny, when I get my shot.
Yeah, y'all talk this America first, but y'all good with giving $6 billion.
All right, Nosh. Donnie, when do I get my shot?
Well, Donnie,
did you see it, Donnie?
Donnie, can I get a shot now?
Hey, no, he's looking for something.
I mean, Nosh has popped in and out at least 6 times now.
No,
well, that almost makes up for the 30 minutes where you overtalked everybody.
Yeah, well, no, not hardly. When you were ducking answers, that's what it was.
Hold on. As soon as I get the for Bianchi, I will play it for Bianchi. So go ahead, Sarge.
Okay. Now, first of all, I'm going to rebut. Now I'm saying I ignore the idea of a Palestinian two-state solution, and I'm opposed to it. I'm going to look at what the record shows. Oslo 1, mm-hmm. under the Oslo
yep.
Agreement, number one, Israel and the PO would recognize each other, and the Palestinians will be given self-rule in Gaza and Jericho first. Then later on, they were going to negotiate the details of autonomy for the rest of the territories. Israel retained responsibility for security in the territories, Gaza and the West Bank, and control over bridges to Jordan. The IDF moved out of the heavily populated areas, but not fully withdraw. Now, that was Oslo 1. Then they had Oslo 2. In Oslo 2, they had a formal agreement on the White House lawn of December 13, 1993. And what seemed to be a big deal is whether or not Rabin would shake hands with Yasser Arafat. But even though he looked like he was having a root canal, he did shake hands with Yasser Arafat, and they agreed to Oslo 1. Oslo 2 further solidified the idea of a two-state solution, and the interim agreement expanded, not contracted, expanded Palestinian self-rule beyond Gaza and Jericho. Israel said, we're going to get our asses out of the West Bank cities like Bethlehem, Jenin, Nablus, Qalqilya, and Tukalim. And the Israeli civil administration that had governed the Palestine territories was dissolved, and all governing responsibility was turned over to the Palestinian Authority. Now, guess what happened after that? Well, after that, before that, the Peel Commission in 1937, the Peel Commission proposed partitioning Palestine and creating an Arab state, there, the Jews and the Arabs in two separate states. The British White Paper proposed creating a unitary Arab state, 1939. 1947, the UN would have created an even larger Arab state, part of a petition plan. The 1979 Egypt peace negotiations with Egypt and Israel offered the Palestinians autonomy, which would have certainly led to full independence. The Oslo agreements laid out the path for the Palestinians to have their independence, but that process got derailed by guess what? Hezbollah and Hamas terrorism. So when Prime Minister Ehud Barak offered to create a Palestinian state in all of Gaza and 97% of the West Bank, guess who turned it down?
Yasser Fick and Arafat, who stole hundreds of millions of dollars from the Palestinians and secreted them away in a Swiss bank account. So in 2008, Prime Minister Olmert withdrew almost the entire West Bank and petitioned Jerusalem on a demographic basis. So for you to say, Naj, that I don't recognize that they offered a two-state solution to Palestine is a historical, would be for me to ignore the history of what actually happened. And you know, Naj, I do not ignore history.
Will I be allowed to respond to that? Because I can.
Well, you shouldn't be. You took all them other interruptions.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't want
well,
me to.
Well, you just went on for 5 minutes and you called him out, so I think that Naj deserves at least a minute to respond.
And,
I agree.
I'll back up what I'm saying, so y'all
all
can
right.
look this up. There's a video. There's
what,
a video
I didn't back it up?
Twitter. Well, I'm about to refute everything you just
okay.
said. You showed
that. I'll be good luck with that one.
Yeah, you're about to get it. So y'all can look online. You can find this. It's a 2001 videotape of Bibi Netanyahu talking about the very thing Sarge just laid out, which is the Oslo Accords. Now, in this video, y'all can see this online. A lot of people share it. It's on the right and it's on the left. This is a very popular video. And basically, what your boy Netanyahu said is the Oslo Accords and Clinton, he was able to play them because he knew that no matter what, the Christian right in America and the idea of the old thinking about what Israel means, the name Israel means to people who study the Bible, means that no matter what, he was going to have to concede. So because of that, Netanyahu always had the stronger hand. So he said he would allow the Oslo Accords to continue, but he would undermine them in this way. He would define security zones as anything that was outside of the Jordan Valley. He would call that a military zone. And from that moment on, I de facto put an end to the Oslo Accords. So this is Bibi Netanyahu, the president right now, who's under indictment for criminal charges for things he's done already. This is him talking about that peace agreement Sarge was talking about. He knew the way to get around the whole peace agreement was what? To decide where and what defined what an area was. So he could define a military zone or he could define a civilian zone. And by that metric, he could always get around whatever terms were litigated within the Oslo Accords. And he's bragging about this on video, talking to right-wing supporters who had donated a lot of money to his campaign. So, again, we're talking about a nation who needs $6 billion a year from the U.S. to actually sustain itself. And there's a lot of washing going on because we send them $6 billion. They wash it militarily, come up with some new concept, send it back to the DOD. Then we use that concept, and there you go. You get the idea of the utility of Israel. None of this is about morality. None of this is about chosen people or any of that other stuff Zionists say. And, again, y'all go look online at the videos of how Zionists treat American travelers as Christians who come over to make their, you know, this is some of the, you know,
well,
let me
the
say
biggest
this.
Moments in those people's lives as American Christians when they get to go to Israel. They want to bathe in the salt water. They want to make their homage. They want to get at the Wailing Wall. And
okay.
Go look at how the Zionists treat those.
Right.
And yeah, well, so Sarge and Netanyahu, there's your answer.
Yeah, that was your rebuttal. Sorry. That was your rebuttal.
Hang on,
you didn't do it.
It's evidence.
What you failed to include in your little summation
was the terrorist
actions
by Hezbollah
and necessitated the expansion of the security zone. You neglected to mention those things.
You fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
See, you just did it. You neglected to mention those things.
Because they're not important in this conversation.
Oh, they're not?
Donnie, don't do that. Let me say this, though.
Donnie, let me say this. Let Bianchi in there.
I'll get back to you in a minute. Let Bianchi in there.
See how he's trying? You see how he's trying to skip over me? But listen to what
I'm
saying.
I'm not
going to
skip over you, sir. Let Bianchi come back in. We don't have our say. Let Bianchi come back in, man.
Then I'll get back
I'm
with you.
He touted the Oslo Accords. I'm telling you there's video evidence online where you can watch Netanyahu tell you that he was skipping around the Oslo Accords.
Which he was allowed to do under the Oslo Accords. It was a necessary. If terrorist activities necessitated it, that's in the Oslo Accords too. You act like it's not there.
It had nothing to do with it.
It did.
Do with it.
I'll even give you the site.
He's telling you that he is
what?
Undermining
okay.
the negotiation.
It's
going
to take me a minute
on.
To explain it to you. Let me go first,
no,
and I'll get back to
you.
Let Donnie go.
I'm not a Zionist, too. Don't fall for it. Go ahead,
Bianchi.
Bianchi, oh, yeah. Did you find it?
No, I haven't got it. Point. I don't know why.
Just take your turn, G.
I wish I did have it. I don't want to hear it myself.
Yeah, and if you go back to that era, you'll find American negotiators were furious with that dude, Netanyahu, because they saw what he was doing. He was using
all right,
definitions
about 4 and 8.
Of security to go beyond it. Yeah, 4 and 8. Joe.
Because everyone seems that we can't, you know.
Joe,
yeah, let's talk
you
about
as
that.
A true conservative and a guy who's more libertarian. I can't believe you justifying this money we're sending to those people.
Ten,
I can't
well,
believe
let's
you
look at the text. All right, well, hang on. Let's go over to 4 and 8. 2022, Ethiopia received $1.13 billion. Jordan received $1.3. Afghanistan received $860 million. South Sudan, $821 million. The Congo, $814 million. Yemen, $814
million. Mm-hmm.
Nigeria, $803 million. Syria, $774 million. Sudan, $488 million. Somalia, $475 million. So out of those 10 countries right there, foreign aid, the reason why we
all
give this foreign aid.
All of
aid,
those combined don't match up to Israel.
Oh,
you realize
God.
That, right? Mm-hmm. And all of those
okay.
are one-offs. Israel's is every year. Every year.
Or Egypt. Or Egypt.
Hey, Donnie,
it's the same amount of money.
9202. Is your number 9202?
Joe, you got to do better.
Okay,
than
here we
you
go again.
Hold on.
Donnie,
is
your number 9202?
Yeah, but hold on.
Right, well, Joe, me and you have
hold on.
Bianchi, right.
Are you sending
not
me to
disrupt.
Is your number 9? Is your last 4 9202?
Yeah, but that are you sending it to my phone? I thought you were sending it to my email.
No, your phone, man.
Well, I can't play it on my phone. You
oh,
send it to my
okay.
email if you can.
Upstairs.
Yeah, email or the chat room so you can pick it up on the.
I think I did this to you before, Helen Thomas, but let me go upstairs.
All right. But yeah, but just notice what Joe Gibson described was one-off contributions to other nations where you give aid and there's a give and take there. Now, all of those contributions Joe just described don't equal up to the $6 billion a year that goes to Israel. That goes there every year. And again, once again, we're talking about conservatives and libertarians who always talk about fiscal responsibility, but now they're talking about a welfare state that they support. That's
well,
weird,
who else do we have
dynamic.
As an ally? Who else
that's
would we have
dynamic.
As an ally in that region?
Anybody.
Who else?
Anybody.
No, come on.
Oh, look, look.
Oh yeah,
y'all,
Jordan?
Y'all actually, hold on.
Lebanon?
Hold on. Y'all, let's get into the real talk. Sarge is going like this. Y'all act like these countries are actually Islamic in the way that the Quran states. Go to Saudi Arabia. If you got enough money, you can get as much liquor, cocaine, weed, and women as you want. Why? Because these states, as a brand, say what they are as far as Islamic traditions, but how they actually operate, that has nothing to do with reality. Does Saudi Arabia actually charge interest on their oil reserves when they do business in the world, which is supposed to be haram because charging interest is haram? Do they actually charge interest? Yes, because these countries, like, dude, don't fall for that stuff. The clerics and imams will talk all that Islam stuff, but when it comes to that boardroom, the people with real power in the Middle East, they don't give a damn about that stuff. And they invite American and European Instagram models over there by the dozens, and they're paying.
Have you ever been over to Saudi
time.
Arabia? Have you ever been
no,
over
I
Saudi
have
Arabia?
Not. I know.
Okay,
a lot about
well, it is like that.
Let me tell you, our troops
exactly.
were not even allowed
you know.
To celebrate Christmas when we were stationed over there, okay? So they do. It is strict over there. They throw homosexuals off of rooftops over there, okay? So it is strict over there. They chop your left hand off when you get caught stealing.
They throw regular population people's homosexuals over the bench, but the homosexuals who fly in and have sex with those rich people, they have no problem with it. Man, don't believe these people are so traditional and Islamic and everything else, man. Stop. Man, y'all.
No, that's
y'all,
dangerous,
y'all
that rhetoric
people,
right there.
Man.
You're telling
y'all
us to take our guard down about an Islamic. No, that type of rhetoric is dangerous right there. We should always be alert
the rhetoric
by extreme Islamic terrorism.
That
yes.
Exist. That's
it does exist.
They lie.
Well, tell that
they
to
lie.
The many, many people that have had their heads chopped off, because let me tell you something, it does exist.
Yeah, of course, there's a class function to it. Now, don't get it twisted.
If, it does
if you're a regular,
exist,
if you're a regular
if
guy,
it does
Saudi,
exist,
you want to do it. Yeah.
If it does
oh,
exist,
ahead,
that's their country. Iran, Lynch, down low men that have sex as merit and have sex with men. They lynch them.
Mm-hmm.
You still like the looting we going on in this nation now? It'll be a lot of hands cut off.
What about human rights, Bianca? What about human rights? That's their country. What do you mean? I don't understand what you mean by that.
Well, wait a minute. Hang on. Don't the United Nations Human Rights Declaration say that girls under 12 can have abortions in the United States?
I don't know. Does it? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What are you talking? I don't understand. You're comparing apples with oranges.
What I'm saying is this.
You're
talking about human rights, but when the United Nations Human Rights Commission come to the United States and start talking about human rights, this, that, and the other, want to declare shootings like in Chicago as a disease, we don't want to buy that.
I don't care about the United Nations. I care about America. And America in the world stage is the beacon of freedom and liberty.
And
we're the only
care,
place. We're the last place on earth
about,
that has freedom.
And
life.
They care about their countries, too. Those are sovereign countries. In Saudi Arabia, the Quran is the constitution, unless they've changed it of recently. In Liberia,
know.
You know,
I'm,
let me
I'm
tell you this.
That's how they govern.
Listen to this. In Liberia, you know who can only have citizenship in Liberia? The Negro.
Okay, good for them. I don't understand what you're saying.
Then you
I'm not trying
gotta,
to change them.
You also got to recognize these other countries doing what they do. If they want to cut off hands and heads, that's their business.
So it's okay what the Palestinians did and going over to Israel like that and killing people. That's okay?
Well, you've had over 2,000 Palestinians killed by Israelis at one point in time.
You sounded like a liberal now. You sounded like a Democrat now. What'd you change?
You sounded like a Democrat, Joe.
No. You're changing
like
the subject. I asked you a question. You're talking about something football. I asked you a baseball question. You switch over to football. So, you know, come on.
No. All your questions were answered. You smeared Pianchi and said he sounded like a liberal, when in reality you're sounding like a liberal.
It doesn't matter
like
what I say, because you're never
going to
agree with anything I say. I know that for a fact.
Brother, I ain't got nothing against you. I ain't got nothing against you. This is a conversation.
No,
we have opposing opinions.
But you have everything else against me.
I don't.
Come on, man. I listen to you on other podcast shows, man. Come on, man.
Well,
anti-American
when
as they come.
You said yourself. Joe said yourself. You ain't heard of these things, and I don't hold that against you. It's a lot of things that people haven't heard because of miseducation that go on in the United States. Mm-hmm. You can't use Wiki, and then we say that Jews control the media, Jews control Hollywood, Jews control the television set. Well, don't you think they would control Wiki, too?
Donnie, I'm trying to be disciplined here, but Nas has called me out a couple times now.
Oh, go ahead, brother. Go ahead and smile. It's all good.
I mean, we're supposed to be civil here and wait our turn.
Okay, hang on. Let me play this for Pianchi. Come with me, Pianchi. Hello, Thomas.
Any comments on Israel? We're arresting everybody today. Any comments on Israel? Ooh. Any better comments?
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land, not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
So the Jews go back to Poland and Germany.
And America and everywhere else.
Okay, thank you, Bianca. Helen Thomas, she's the oldest.
Okay. We can't understand you, Don. It's your microphone.
You're sounding like a nanobot again.
Well, I sound sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so that was Helen Thomas, longtime White House correspondent. Goes all the way back, I think, to Eisenhower, but I know she was there during Kennedy. And she is a Jew. So that's well known. But the thing is that the U.S., and we talk about it in other cases, they are throwing money around to these regimes, and all they do is use it to pop up their own corrupt people. We talk about it with Zelensky. And I'm here defending historical happenings, real people, real dates, real places, and real events.
Mm-hmm.
This was going on way before any building of the first temple. I mean, I'm sorry. That's the way history was. I mean, that's the way it is.
Now, yeah, I'm leaving all this empty space. Somebody need to jump in, or I'm gonna start talking. Like I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying.
Zag, come in, so I can rebut everything you said. I'm the one that's disciplined here now.
Okay, go ahead, Serge.
All right, now look here. First of all, I agree that we should withdraw all this damn foreign aid to all the Middle East, pretty much. But unfortunately, we are bound by that treaty Jimmy Carter negotiated to give Egypt $2.3 billion a year and Israel $3 billion a year as long as they abide by the accords. So the Senate would have to revisit that treaty to change it. So we're stuck with it for now. Now, next.
Egypt provides the Suez Canal. What is Israel provide?
Okay, again, we've got a treaty, Naj. Whether you like it or I like it or not, it's a treaty. Senate ratified. Let me finish.
To the Suez Canal. What does Israel provide?
Israel provides us with actionable intelligence that has proven to be pretty valuable over the years. Let me finish. All right, again. Yeah. Barack offered to withdraw 97% of the West Bank, 100% of the Gaza Strip. He said he was going to dismantle 63 settlements in exchange for the 3% annexation of the West Bank. Israel was going to give up territory in the Gaza that will increase the size of the Gaza territory by about 33% or more. He made previously unthinkable concessions on Jerusalem. He said that the Arab neighborhoods of East Jerusalem would become the capital of a new state. The Palestinians would have control over their holy places. They'd have religious sovereignty over the Temple Mount. All of that. They offered to create a contiguous Palestinian state, not just a series of cantons. You know, they got them cantons over there. Even in the Gaza Strip, which has to be physically separate from the West Bank, unless, of course, they were going to allow Israel to be cut into two, which is crazy, they devised a solution where they would connect the two parts of Israel with a highway, overland highway, without any Israeli checkpoints or interference. They also addressed the refugee issue, guaranteeing them the right to live in a Palestinian state, and they offered reparations from a $30 billion fund that would be collected from international donors to give them compensation. All of that was rejected by Yasser Arafat. Now, you ain't going to tell me that that didn't happen, because it did, because the PLO and Arafat publicly rejected all of those concessions.
Okay, so American negotiators were furious with the tactics. Just as Obama said in 2009, Netanyahu has been insufferable, lecturing us and telling us how to deal with the Arabs. This is U.S. negotiator Dennis Ross in his memoir, The Missing Piece. After Netanyahu was gone, President Clinton observed, he thinks he is a superpower and we are here to do whatever he requires. In a successful campaign against Nahu in 99, Barack uses elude Barack, but not Barack Obama. Use a slogan proposed by U.S. campaign strategist Bob Strum, which was stuck, 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 which was the position of Netanyahu. They were not actually engaged in any idea of turning over any territory or giving freedom of movement to the Palestinians. He came into negotiations to be a shit stirrer. This is James Carville. So I'm just reading from the people who are at those events that you just described, describing what actually happened at the negotiation. So you can tell the propaganda line, but I'm telling you what the people who heard Netanyahu in those negotiations said.
Let me ask Joe Gibson another question. Joe, do you know who architect the Balfour Agreement 1948?
Excuse me?
Do you know who the architect of that agreement with Israel and
the
Native States?
Well, the Balfour Declaration was in 1917.
Well, hang on.
Hey,
Wait a minute.
He's asking a question. Allow him to answer.
Wait a minute.
But it was in 1917.
The things that came about in 1948 with the creation, do you know who it was that architect that?
Well, to be honest with you,
no.
God.
Well, God must have been a black man because there's a black American by the name of Ralph Bunche. And as a matter of fact, didn't he get a Nobel Peace Prize for that, Sarge?
He did. He did.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
One of the great stains on the legacy of Ralph Bunche.
So we have a black man that created all this problem. My goodness.
It couldn't create no problem because it was foretold many years ago that Israel would become a nation again in Matthew chapter 24, okay?
Yeah,
and not a generation shall pass, and the end will come. And guess what? In a generation, the Bible is 70 to 100 years. And so they take 1948 and look where we're at now. The end isn't the close.
Well,
so you can reject it all you want. You can reject God's word. But the fact of the matter is every knee is going to bow. So whether you like it or not. So you want to be here for tribulation or you want to go?
Let me address that.
Okay.
Let me address that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John came last. The books of the Apocryphal. What does Apocryphal mean? Books of no uncertain authorship. They don't even know who wrote it.
Wow. Right,
well,
so
let me address that
now.
The work of the Bible
translation. Justification. Oh, my God.
There are differences in the Greek manuscripts, such as minor issues in punctuation, spelling, or whatever, the word order. But the fact of the matter is that the King James translation is the seventh translation in the true word of God. And it doesn't matter what you say or do. It doesn't matter. It's happening right before our eyes. What's happening in the world today is happening. So, because
King James,
and the Bible foretold
fanatic.
King James created an English Bible for the English people. It wasn't mass produced until Gutenberg invented the movable press.
The printing press.
So up until that time, it was one. It was handwritten, a copy, one person copying off of something that was written, and anything can happen. And you know,
okay,
translations is phony.
Not to mention the idea of the Lord God having a special group of people. At that point, you're making God a bigot. The idea that God would have special people.
Well,
as opposed
that's
to
a problem in America right now. The Bible reveals Christ, who is the bread of life.
This is fanaticism.
Simple as that.
This
water
is
for
ISIS
life.
This is
hey, look,
ISIS
you can dissect
from.
It all you want. King James was a very good prophet then, because everything he wrote in that Bible with those men, with those pens and pencils that you're saying, I don't know how he could foretell that this was happening today.
Well,
I mean, how do you think Israel was going to become a nation again?
Christopher Columbus predicted the LGBTQ community. Did you know that?
Indeed.
Huh?
Indeed.
Well,
this is what's wrong with America right here. The rejection of God.
Here's the thing, Joe. And you know, I like
more million babies.
I hope you win your election in North Carolina. I like to give you a chance and see what you can do. But see,
thank you very much.
All these things keep running up against a wall. And, you know, some of this stuff, I was involved in arguing back in the 1970s, just to go to show you how long it's been going on in one particular a group of people in this country.
Look, okay, that's fine. Look, the Bible is the highest law of God that sets forth his spiritual laws and gives his promises, okay? The Bible reveals the plan of redemption for the human race. Okay, it is a living book that works its way into our hearts, minds, souls,
so
whatever you
want
to call it.
Point,
but if you can reject it, if you want.
Yeah. At what point does it get it wrong?
From the opposite position, it doesn't get it wrong. Making the same argument.
Well, it does.
Religious
get it wrong.
Fanaticism.
I mean, from the foot all on down, it gets
shout
it
out
it
to
wrong.
The great Christopher Hitchens. My God.
What has it gotten wrong, Bianca? What has the Bible gotten wrong?
I got a question for you. Who in the hell decided to call the first five books the Old Testament? The people that wrote it would not have called it old because there was nothing else like it at the time.
Yeah, all right, well, it wasn't old until when the New Testament came, old versus new, I guess. You know, the new law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. So what, Jesus never walked this earth either, right? I mean, did he exist
or no? Nobody's saying that, man. You make these extreme examples and then ask if the other side is on the other side of your example, which is not true. So, again, every group of people on this earth.
Well, either you believe God or you don't. Either you believe God or you don't.
Hold on, relax. Every group of people on this earth has a creation story. Now, the idea that we would take people's creation story and decide, okay, that's going to be the rule of law, that's barbarism. Uh-huh. That's actually what we were before people started to actually discover things and think, and before ideas actually, were able to transition.
Where's your evidence?
The evidence is your historical evidence. The evidence is that we're still here. Again, Christopher Hitchens, he passed away about 10 years ago. And he predicted that there would be a resurgence of fanaticism, not only from the East, meaning the Muslim, the crazy ISIS groups and things like that, that there would be also a group from the West who would do similar things and try to use their own prophecies and ideas.
Well, I need
to govern
the Bible predicted
everybody
that too.
Else. So, yeah, shout out to Christopher Hitchens, man.
Permission to speak, sir.
Yeah, yep. Go ahead.
I think Sarge just sat back for quite a while now, so let him give a comment or two.
I keep waiting for the round robin to commence. That's why I'm not saying anything. But look, people are constantly saying that all this conflict, all the Middle East problems, is because the Israeli-Palestinian situation don't get settled. And therefore, it's impossible to win Arabs and Muslims over to the good cause because the Israelis just won't do the right thing. Look, Palestinians' plight is caused, and the Arab-Israeli conflict generally, all started because the Arabs would not accept a Jewish state in the Middle East. Had they not gone to war in 1948 to block the UN partition plan, you'd have a Palestinian state that would now be celebrating 70 years of being an independent sovereign nation. Had they not supported terrorism directed at Israeli citizens and provoked seven damn Arab-Israeli wars, they could have settled this jive a long time ago and the problem would have been resolved. Meanwhile, you got the Palestinian problem is just one of a whole bunch of ethnic, religious, and feuds plaguing the whole damn region. It had nothing to do with the Iran-Iraq war, the Gulf Wars, the Lebanese Civil War, the Arab Spring, or the civil wars in Syria, Yemen, and Libya, the conflicts between the Sunni and the Shiite Muslims, the Iranian threats against their neighbors, all the damn disputes in Yemen, Turkey, Libya, Pakistan, all this stuff ain't got nothing to do with Palestine and Israelis. But they want to make Israel and Palestine the central focus of everything. If they solved the problem in Palestine, it would not impact hardly a bit on the overall volatility in that region. It would not bring peace to Israel because Islamists like Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran do not accept the legitimacy of a Jewish state in the Muslim heartland. They just don't want it. They don't want to allow it. I'm sorry, there's just no other way to look at this if you're really being honest.
Okay, so the trade between Saudi Arabia and Israel is vibrant. The trade between Israel and these other nations over there besides Iran is still vibrant. And again, we got to stop listening to media propaganda that tells us
you heard the countries I mentioned. I didn't mention Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the main one to mention because they have that great relationship. Matter of fact, if you go –
which is getting better, by the way, under Donald Trump. It was improving.
Well, not true. But
yeah, no, it was. Abraham Accord, sir. The Abraham Accord. No doubt about it.
Brother.
Morocco was involved. Qatar was involved in
it. Yeah, you're not talking to somebody who doesn't know. They got that relationship based
on – Well, you sound like you don't know. You're not acknowledging it to be so.
Yeah, you just don't want me to talk. So that
you don't
want to
acknowledge it.
You don't want me to talk. That relationship.
I want you to talk. It would be nice if you would acknowledge that to be true because it is.
You don't recognize what you're doing right now? So that relationship got solidified based on what we allow Saudi Arabia to get away with in Yemen. That's what that's based on. The fact that you don't know that, I don't know what to tell you. So, again, going back to the main story, when you're talking about these areas, let's do this in any other part of the world where a governing body says this group of people and this group of people will be together and we're going to split the land in two and there's going to be a two-state solution. You're telling me there wouldn't be uproar in any part of the world? Of course it would.
Well, you know,
when an outsider comes in and carves up land and makes a declaration of where nation states' lines of demarcation are, there's going to be problems. Now,
I got a question.
Do you want to solve those problems, or do you want those
problems to get worse, so one state
can absorb another?
Distinguished gentlemen can answer this question. What is the United States' interest in that area? Somebody please tell me.
Well, for one, oil.
Gold.
Oil.
Well, we were self-dependent. And come on, if we go into the Green New Deal, we won't need oil.
I've had this.
It's gonna bring the world to nuclear war. I wonder why. Let's tell me why so much focus on that tiny little strip of land.
How's it gonna be? How's it gonna bring the world to a nuclear war? The Taser bomb, which is the most devastating in existence today. Matter of fact, Laurie, I sent you the new map. Hell, if you explode one over there any place, it won't harm us here in this country. Here, we won't even feel it.
Correct.
And when my guy comes down from the north, the Book of Ezekiel tells you right out there how it's going to end. And you already see Russia getting involved. So, you know,
when all the armies surround
Israel, and then when the man of peace shows up, everybody can go, he solved all our problems. You guys can worship that then.
Political forums, when you do political forums with your candidate, do you refer to the Bible right then on the spot?
If I have to, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Why? America, that's what America was founded upon. The Constitution was written because of the Bible.
Religious belief.
What are you talking about, religious belief? I don't have no religious belief. It's a way of life. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Religion. I'm not practicing no religion. That's man-made.
Put up this wall. Build the wall, Thomas Jefferson, as he did.
Oh, no, he didn't. That's not true. That's not true. No, he
didn't. Hold on. Let me get into what he just said and what Pianchi asked. The question Pianchi asked was about oil and what our interest is over there. So, of course, it's oil. Now, when Pianchi makes the mistake of saying, well, we were self-reliant on oil, there's no such thing as self-reliant on oil. Oil is like any other market. So countries who have more than you or easier access to it than you or cheaper access to it than you, they affect your market no matter how much you pump. So, of course, Israel is a pivot in the Middle East, and that's where our interest lies in that fashion. Nothing beyond that. There's nothing biblical about this. There's nothing moral about this. This is a straight cash transaction. The fact that you don't get that means that the propaganda works.
Well, no, it just means that your eyes are blind and your heart is hardened. That means that you don't get it, but, you know.
Proverbs blind to think that, let's see, we can produce our own oil here. We have plenty of our own reserves. But if we're going to be funding bases and have equipment and ships and planes and shit all over the fucking globe, then guess what?
Here we go.
We're going to
need
local resources.
We must not be recording.
There's the oil. You know, if you're gonna if you're going to need oil for all of this equipment, it's going to be a hell of a lot easier to control the oil market in the Middle East, where you have all of these bases all around the area, than it is to ship it directly from here over to there.
You're absolutely right, Laurie. Thank you for that. We always talking this crap. All the money you don't gave that country over there throughout the years, that money could have been done just like Proverbs 25 and 28. It says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Come on, now. Let's follow it all. Follow it all.
Follow it all?
Follow the
whole
book.
That's the saying, there.
Here we go again. Yeah. Now, I know you don't go to church because there's so many hypocrites there, right?
A day for the building of your walls is a day the boundary shall be far extended. Micah 7 and 11.
Well, look.
Yeah, but
you can send peace all you want, but it's not going to happen.
Well, it can happen. The idea that it's impossible, I don't know how a person is a religious person and believes
well, you're right. Oh, you're, I'm wrong. You're right. It will happen. It will. For about 3.5 years.
It can.
Yep.
So
it will for about 3.5 years. Yeah,
let's get into this. Remember, all of the Middle East infrastructure as far as pumping oil, remember this. There's a thing called IOC. These are the contracts to – well, I know this hurts. You don't like information. You want to believe in mythical stories. Fairy tale, that's cool. But IOCs, these are the contracts to pump that oil. You know who built the infrastructure in Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Iran, Iraq, and everywhere else? The UK and the United States. Carlyle, the Carlyle Group, that group that the Bin Laden family was a part of that made so much money. You know who the majority stakeholder in that is? Those boys in Houston, James
the Bushes.
Former member with the Bushes, and he was a part of their administration. So when you talk about this stuff and say, well, oil doesn't matter, we could be oil independent. No, when you're talking about a finite resource, you have to control not only your portion, but the other portion, especially one that has more than you. So that's why we're over there. That's why they say our interests lie in Israel and everything else. They're a pivot to those Arab states. Now, again, Saudi Arabia, who tells y'all they're so religious and they're so into Islam, do they charge interest on their money when it comes to those IOC contracts?
What was our interest in the 40s and 50s then? You said our interest is oil. There was no oil over there in the 1948. What was our interest then?
Well, the thing is, you need to leave them alone.
Yes,
you can't say you got a treaty. Look how many treaties were broken with the Indians. Nobody said anything terrible about that.
Break Indians? What they got to do with oil? What's the Indians got to do with oil?
It's about treaties.
Yeah,
everybody's saying we got a treaty with them. What breaks the damn treaty?
Let me clear the Indians' land then. Hold on, Sarge. Damn, you just heard me talking, dude. Damn. So,
Jesus.
At the time, the whole globe was moving from steam power to oil. And during that period, there's a guy, Mr. 5%. You can look him up. He's from the UK. He's the first person to come over there and start carving up the territory as far as where oil would be and where the next, where the next venture would be as far as energy was. And Britain knocked down his deal. They didn't give him the 5% that he wanted. He basically wanted 5% of all oil in perpetuity. Y'all can look this guy up. It's a real story. Greg Palatz covered it. Great investigative journalist. Y'all can look this up. It's in the book. What's it called? But Greg Palatz, you can look him up and find it. I can't think of the book name. I'll figure it out in a little bit.
Kind
of
reminds me,
you
know, it's interesting.
How we always talk about the bad and the good and evil out there. We all agreed upon this so many times that there's evil people out there controlling. What do you think these people? I mean, what's your definition of evil and good? I don't understand.
Evil is when you continuously give money to someone that everybody in the damn neighborhood hates for obvious reason. Now they begin to hate you.
You think that's why they hate us? Because we give Israel money? You think that's why?
What else?
Really?
Look, Joe, believe me, Muslims Muslims don't want to have anything to do with a nation where you got men standing on the corner kissing each other and exchanging slap. You got men dressed up with bikinis and all. They don't want no part of that. Killing other babies, looting stores. They don't want no part of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's an honest answer.
And I'll inject here, too. You know, you want to know why they hate us so much? Let's see. The first thing that comes to mind is three letters, CIA. They fucking hate us. I mean, our CIA has interfered with so much of their shit. You know what? You want to ask why Israel is our only ally, which that's debatable right there, too. But if you really want to ask yourselves why they're our only ally, well, guess what? Maybe if we weren't interfering with all of their shit this whole time, maybe if we weren't funding enemies on both sides all the time, if our CIA wasn't involved in overthrowing governments and propping up authoritarian dictators in these countries, because they serve
That's
our
Hollywood.
Interests 1 minute, and 10 years later, we're at war with them, maybe, just maybe, we would have more allies in the Middle East if we weren't interfering in all their shit all of the time for decades.
So name one country that the CIA overthrew. What government we've overthrown over the Middle East?
They overthrew the Congo. They can't wait a minute.
I am not going to do your homework for you. If you are
you made the statement, you don't know how the CIA
has been involved in government overthrows in the Middle East and other countries, then
I
can't explain it for you. We would need to
in 1982, you're going to tell me Lebanon was overthrown when they attacked our base?
Mossadegh in Iran, they overthrew him.
That's right. Yeah. He overthrew Mossadegh. They overthrew Patrice Lumumba in the Congo. Joe, let me be the one that comes up with the questions at your political debate.
Hollywood.
They will tear you up.
Our foreign policy, you're saying we should have no foreign policy whatsoever? What are you saying? We have to align ourselves with terrorists?
Foreign policy does not mean overthrowing governments and interfering with other countries.
You don't understand foreign international affairs.
Every country around the whole entire fucking world.
No, you don't understand.
That's why America, here we are. Three times.
If that's your foreign policy, that's a fucked up foreign policy.
What we're saying is we cannot deny the CIA did interfere in other governments around the world. Now, as to whether or not that was in the interest of the United States to do it, you can make that argument. But you cannot deny that they did it.
That we did it.
They didn't overthrow, Sarge. They didn't overthrow entire governments.
No. Go to Smedley
entire governments.
Go to Smedley Butler, the great general
from
America.
Wait a minute. When you killed the damn president, what do you call that?
Hold on, Bianca. Smedley Butler, great general from the United States, wrote a book called War is a Racket, and you can read him laying out that not only were we deposing leaders, but we were taking over areas based on resources to prop up corporations. Go look up the United States.
When they tried to fund.
Dude, you don't know this stuff?
When they tried to fund, they failed. Every time they tried to prop up a government, they failed. They failed in the middle, Central America.
Listen at this, though. Have you ever read the book, Confessions? Wait a minute. Have you ever read the book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman? It reveals all that stuff. Even Cooper. Even Cooper revealed it in his book, Behold Colonel Hoyt.
The CIA
stood by in international policies. Yes, yes, but they didn't overthrow entire governments.
The CIA stood by and then knew that they were about to overthrow and assassinate the Nguyen Diem in Vietnam, and they even misled the president of the United States, John F. Kennedy, of the knowledge they had that that assassination was impending because they thought they could use it to their benefit. And they didn't even tell the president about it.
Yeah. I don't know, Sarge. I don't know about that. I don't know.
No, that's true.
Are they corrupt? Yes.
Are they
corrupt? Yes, but I'm not going to say that they overthrew the entire government.
Second, I put a link. I put a link into the chat room directly from the CIA.gov, a document that says a short history of CIA intervention in 16 foreign countries. And
that's
just a real quick synopsis. Bolivia, 1971. British Guiana, 1962 to 66. Brazil, 1965. Chile, 1970. The Congo, let's see, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, Egypt, Guatemala, Iraq, Jordan, Laos,
yep.
Portugal, Vietnam. You know, that's just a simple rundown. You know, you can go ahead and read the article. So,
but that's not what you said.
Deny the fact that the CIA is involved in all this and that's just 16.
No, I did not say
and
that.
That's
hey,
on the CIA's
that.
Own website. You can't deny
no.
that this is the
no,
kind
of
damn,
thing
that
they all
website?
These other countries are.
No,
what about
they
were involved? I didn't deny they were involved.
Knows.
You said overthrow.
What about the Panama
you said
papers?
Overthrow.
Yes. Yes.
What about the Panama intervention?
Yes, they were involved, but they didn't overthrow a government.
Yeah,
what government did they overthrow?
The federal government, the U.S. is overthrown. There's another article that posted in there.
Allende in Chile.
The CIA is
what
overthrown.
Do you call it? What do you call it when you kill a president? But wait a minute. Now, January 6th was supposed to have been an overthrow of the government, and nobody fired a goddamn shot.
Let me make this simple for you.
I think
the CIA is
involved in that, too. You don't understand what position you're taking. You're saying that we should have no foreign policy. I just don't understand.
You are a naive baby.
No, we're not saying
like,
no foreign policy.
I don't know what to tell you, brother.
Let's interfere with every fucking country on the goddamn globe.
Five times.
Foreign policy needs to go.
So you're telling me that we should not have our hand in other countries over there? We'd be isolated from the rest of the world.
Well, sometimes that's the best way to be. Have you had to sleep on the couch before?
Right.
You're crazy. You're crazy. Russia and China would take over the world.
That's why they hate you. They hate you.
Exactly. That's why they
hate
us. Yeah, okay.
Look, even in the Ukraine, you overthrew Yanukovych. He was duly elected.
They don't hate Americans that go over abroad. Only a few select terrorist groups do.
Aren't you a little bit pissed off about China's interference in our government and influence, even having a fucking police station in New York? Doesn't that piss you off?
Of course it is.
I am
out for American interests.
They're infiltrating Congress. They're infiltrating government. They're buying land here. Doesn't that piss you off that the Chinese government is exerting more and more control over our country right here? But yet
you don't want Chinese free reign over the whole fucking world,
and we're
flying at the port of Los Angeles. You don't want Chinese flags flying at the port of San Diego.
Hey guys.
Oh, I know.
How are you doing?
Listen to this. I don't think any of you understand foreign policy at all. I just don't think you do.
You
don't get it.
You appear to be the naive one. You appear to be
No,
naive
I'm not
one.
Naive. Trust me.
Hey,
I work for a three-letter government organization. I know what I'm talking about.
Hey, Donnie, can you hear me?
Explain what you think our policy should be. Should the United States have free reign to be involved in other countries and have our foreign policy be we get involved everybody else's business, but nobody else is allowed to get involved in ours. When China tries to do it to us, we reject it. When any other government tries to do it to us, we reject it. Is that the kind of foreign policy you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about foreign policy that you don't understand it, okay? So we should not have took a stand against communism around the world? You're telling me we should not have done that?
No, that's different. That's different. That's different.
No, you're twisting it around.
That's what we were battling against for the last how many years?
Give me an example of killing a Congolese president.
God damn, I can see why you guys are on Blog Talk Radio.
Give me an example of a Congolese president being murdered by the CIA is good for America.
Oh, my God. What are you talking about? You're making accusations. There's nothing that proves that they murdered him. What are you talking about?
Yes, there is proof. What is wrong?
It's on the CIA's website.
Yeah.
That they murdered, the president. That they murdered the president.
Denial of the fact does not mean that it's not true, Joe Gibson.
Okay.
Don't know these things.
Well, you don't understand foreign policy currently.
No, clearly you don't. You don't know what happened.
Hello?
Well, let me give you a... Hold on real quick. Let me just say this. So Dean Rusk, former administrator for JFK, when they were doing the Bay of Pigs invasion, and Kennedy was a little hesitant because Kennedy didn't think it was a good idea, Dean Rusk, in trying to convince him, said, no, this is actually what we do. He gave him a list of foreign nations that we had either overthrown or incapacitated in a way militarily to determine what their political future would be. So you can read this online, Dean Rusk's list of invasions. And you know what you'll find in that list? There are 2 years when we did not invade or attempt to assassinate or change the political trajectory of another country. You know what those 2 years were? When we were fighting the Sioux Wars here in the nation. So when there's evidence that heavy out there and you don't know about any of it,
I thank God we've got them organizations stationed around the world.
Well,
yeah, because let me tell you something, they protect us every single day.
Joe Gibson, what happened with the USS Liberty? Was it not Israeli forces that fired on an American ship?
Okay, so what? We're picking up one incident.
Warnings from Egypt that an attack was imminent from Hamas and they ignored it? Was it not Israel that literally right outside their gates, Hamas was practicing for 2 months for this invasion? You can't tell me that Israel was just deaf, dumb, and fucking blind about it.
They just let them do it, right? Yep, they just let them do it. Yep.
Yeah,
sure they did.
Well, they literally did. You can watch videos on it. I have.
Yep.
I have literally watched videos. There are articles about it.
Invite Hamas over here. Contact Hamas over here. Tell me it's important.
Time out.
Even Iran acknowledges that this was being planned for at least a couple of months before it happened.
Time out. Can you hear me? Hey, time out. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, bro.
Hey, John Doe.
Man, about time. I think we're getting caught up in semantics where people are using their best language in communication and other people are deciphering it different, and then they're bringing it back up into each other's face from a whole different context. We got to be careful about that. That just creates more problem. It's like, you know, if I see my next-door neighbor beating his wife, so my foreign policy to my next-door neighbor should allow him to continue to beat his wife? No. I go beat his ass.
That's a terrible analogy for this situation.
In regards to the CIA overthrow of governments from beating and interference, Joe Gibson wants to ignore the fact that the dude is beating his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. The proper analogy for that would be,
that's not what I'm saying. No.
Hold on, because that analogy doesn't work. The proper analogy for that would be, we're stopping a guy from beating his wife, then taking over the lease of the house, selling it to a corporate nation, and then allowing that corporate to finance and make a bunch of money off the mortgage and everything else, and then later on when things go bad, we sell the house and say we had nothing to do with it. That's the more descriptive form of U.S. policy. But again, that's the NGOs, that's the alphabet group, CIA, FBI, all of those. That is not the U.S. population. That is not the U.S. government. They do these things in secret because they know the U.S. population would not agree with them. They don't put these
things up for a vote.
No, because U.S. citizens have an idea of right and wrong, and they wouldn't think that you need
to be
cognizant
about it like
by killing their leaders. we would say you need to beat communism by being more productive than communism and showing that capitalism is a better system.
So, can you wonder why the Department of Defense is allowed to fail audits 5 years in a row to the tune of $1.8 trillion? That's the money that's funding all this shit.
So, yeah, but see, the problem is not necessarily that we're funding it. It's whether what we're standing for in the funding is good or evil. If we continue to just argue about what's wicked and evil and what's good, and you see what's wicked is good, and I say what's good is, you know, not the evil that you want, then we're continuing to just argue about stuff that ain't going to matter. We have to figure out how to discern what is actually evil and what is good, and then have a unified or united understanding of that, right, and agree to move forward based on that basis.
All right. Let's deal with your scenario. So the Vietnam War was extremely unpopular. We had a war movement against it. People were saying this shouldn't happen. And what happened? We got rid of the draft. Why? Because they decided that if any unpopular war is going to be fought, you're going to have a problem convincing the citizens that their sons and daughters should be led to that war. And that's why we don't have a draft anymore, because that's how powerful that anti-war movement was. Now, the problem with the anti-war movement was when the people came back, they treated the soldiers as if they made the choice instead of celebrating those people who were conscripted or made a choice to be loyal to the state, and the state led them wrong, and they didn't give those people the flowers that they should have instead of spitting on them when they landed back. So that was the issue there. But ultimately, think about what happened in that scenario. If you put it up to a referendum or vote, the people wouldn't vote for these unending wars of aggression, because that's not what Americans want. So they want to do these things backhandedly, and if the people aren't aware, they won't know that it's going on. We just had a conversation with somebody who said they didn't know we overthrew an estate. They didn't know.
Most of the anti-war movement was more unpopular than the war itself. The people were against the war because they didn't think it was being fought properly. I saw all the polls at the time they were made. I remember them barely well. The anti-war movement was far more unpopular than the war itself. And yes, the war was unpopular because the people in the main thought it was not being fought to win.
So when the
and don't be hiding behind
out,
your
that,
faith.
That
wait a minute.
Changed.
Hang on for a second.
That sentiment.
Don't
changed.
Be hiding behind your faith.
Yeah, let
Pianki
get a word in here.
Because when it comes down to faith, Joe Gibson, you put a long-ass fuse on your bomb so you can run away, and they wear their bombs on their chest. So who believes
that has
more
nothing to do
what
with
they're
it.
Fighting for?
That has nothing to do with it. Wait, what
hey,
that got to do with me? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about
so as a Christian,
when you
so as a Christian
when you
believer,
throw,
I'm supposed to, I'm not supposed to
I'm
poke me
about
in this eye, poke me in that eye.
Your
yeah.
belief compared to your belief compared to their belief. You put a long fuse on your bomb. They wear their bomb on their neck.
Well,
and
this belief in America is God. Okay, we believe in God, not Allah, not the Prophet Muhammad, not Buddha,
but you got
not
United
anyone
States
else.
Citizens, you have United States citizens that
rights?
Are Muslims.
Yeah. And one of our rights is freedom of religion.
That's right. You have a right to believe whatever way you want, but that's not what the founding of this country was built upon.
Shit.
That you believe
you
Buddha.
Gotta,
it wasn't built upon Buddha.
You
it wasn't
you
built
go
upon Prophet Muhammad.
But
when you compare the different values, morals, ethics, and principles, do they line up with the Declaration of Independence, the spirit, hope, and promise of the founding of this country? So there's a lot of this stuff that we call religions that are an abomination to the Declaration of Independence.
That's
and
right.
So therefore, they nullify the Constitution. So if any of us want to say our particular way of life, our values, morals, ethics, and principles are in line with the Declaration of Independence, then I'll say, yeah, that's a decent religion in America. But if it flies in the face of the spirit, hope, and promise of the Declaration of Independence, then it's hypocrisy, and you're actually just exercising a form of legislative slavery on the masses that don't believe like you, or they're allowing you to run roughshod over them.
And you know, when they first invaded Iraq, first thing they started doing was handing out Bibles. Why'd you do that? That was wrong.
Because that's what we believe in America.
You don't go into other countries handing out your belief system, which you don't follow yourself.
Jesus said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the number one commandment.
That was back during a black.
Do we have another fucking Christian crusade?
Lord,
that was during Flat Earth, Joseph Gibson. That was during the Flat Earth. They didn't know about no Minnesota or no Chicago.
Flat Earth. The Earth is flat, huh?
No, that's
according to the Bible, that's what Flat Earthers believe. The Bible describes it as being flat, apparently.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Where does it say that in the Bible? I don't think so.
And the original Genesis or whatever, that's what the Flat Earthers believe, is that the Bible describes Flat Earth with the firmament and all that shit.
I don't think so.
God built
you got to reject it. Look, you reject God's word. That's fine.
God,
that's your choice.
The earth.
No,
like I said,
nobody said
that.
Created,
you see how it's working
God
for you? How's it working for you in America?
Reject man's interpretation of God's word. That's what I reject.
Exactly.
Man's
interpretation
of God's
what are you talking about? It means
God
what it says instead of what it means.
It doesn't make sense, Joel Gibson.
It doesn't make sense. Of course it can't make sense to people to some antichrist. Of course it can't.
God created the earth in 6 days and rest the seventh during a period of time when societies had 10-day weeks. They had 10-day weeks.
Yeah, okay.
And the calendar, guess what? The calendar still exists today. You can see the calendar today.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Whatever.
What's a 10-day calendar?
Ed, you're just fulfilling prophecy. Keep it up. Good work.
What's a 10-day calendar? I've never heard of a 10-day calendar. I've only heard of 7 days.
Yeah, Nostradamus had a lot of prophecies, too, that came true.
The Romans created a 7-day calendar. Egypt had a 10-day calendar. You can see it today.
Okay.
Back when Palestine was on the map.
Yeah, back when they were on the map. Well, guess what? They're going to be blown off the map real soon. Thank God.
And then you use that same Bible to justify genocide.
That's wrong.
That's
hypocrisy. Yeah. The Bible doesn't say you're not allowed to defend yourself.
Barbarian animals. They're nothing but animals. That's what the Jews were called during the Nazis. And guess what the Jews are called?
But what did the Jews do?
Did
the Jews chop anybody's head off?
They're nothing but animals. They're
not
human beings. They're animals.
Did the Jews chop anybody's heads off? Did the Jews chop anybody's heads off? Did they rape anybody's women?
Oh, yeah.
No, they did. They did. The Germans, they were attacking the Germans, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The Germans were pissed off because they couldn't get their own money out of Jews.
Hang on, let me say the F word another 9 times.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no.
Oh, boy. Is everybody drunk tonight?
Jewish people.
No, I'm not. I'm not drunk.
You sound like
I'm drunk in the spirit of the Lord.
I made one drink about an hour ago, so I'm definitely not drunk.
I'm only drunk in the Holy Spirit, maybe.
There we go.
Yeah.
But no, the Jews of Europe were not the people who were persecuting. They were people who were persecuted. The pogroms that were done against them were all across Europe. That's where we get to the Balfour Declaration and everything else, because they were not safe in Europe. So when you talk
people
about these
people.
People
have been persecuted all over the world throughout history.
Yeah, true, but they have a specific history in that region. We're talking about
look
that one region,
Vandals.
Though, and that specific people.
The
why? Because that
was
that,
even ran.
Hold on, Pianchi. That area of the world was intolerant to other religions. During that period, they attacked those people, and they were always the otherized when any hardship came to one of those countries. So that's why they came up with the idea of finding a separate space for them. Then they go over there, and they come up with this concept called Zionism, which is just the same thing. I mean, you might as well call that almost Nazism.
What, hang on for a second. You talk about the separate state. Wasn't the first state Uganda?
Yeah, that
can
was
you
the first
imagine
choice?
Some white Jews? Wait a minute.
The first choice?
No, it was Uganda. The first choice was Uganda.
No.
Now, can you imagine some white European Jews said that they coming back home in Uganda?
Actually, that was the bone of contention among the Zionists, whether to go to Uganda. It was not a popular choice at all. There was a great deal of argument about going to Uganda.
Oh,
it was not universally popular.
Herzl hated the idea.
Yes, he did. He hated it. He absolutely hated the idea of going to Uganda. So, I mean, there was
an
argument.
Was an
there were some who wanted it, but I don't think most of the Zionists wanted Uganda. It didn't. It went over like a lead balloon.
Yeah, but if any of them had the idea to go back and say that we coming back home to Uganda, these white Europeans, Polish, German, Khazars, what kind of damn sense they must have been
making? Well, I'm just saying it was a totally unsuccessful proposition. It was rejected at the Zionist councils. They considered it and they rejected it. Most of them didn't want to have anything to do with it.
And remember, Judaism is a legitimate Abrahamic religion, should be respected all across the globe. Zionism is a political philosophy based on the idea of gaining power. And they try
the word Zion is a Hebrew term that refers to Jerusalem.
In fact, Bianchi, I'm just saying, they had a formal vote on it at the 7th Zionist Congress in 1905 in Vienna. And they formally voted against it overwhelmingly. They rejected the Uganda move.
But the fact that it was an option is a worth the conversation piece. Bianchi bringing it up is worth it.
Yeah, that's worth talking about, but it was never under consideration.
The fact is that they had a conversation on going back and taking over Uganda under the pretense that God said this is our damn land.
Right. That wasn't a popular notion, though. Not at all. Not even among the Zionists.
This idea that you want to mix Zionism and Judaism together, that's the biggest problem. Zionism hides behind Judaism and tries to take the legitimacy of a real religion and present itself as if they're the same thing, and they are not. You can read Herzl's work on it and understand it. Like, this is not a complicated thing. I got a book right here next to me. This is a textbook that they used to sell to schools, Hebrew schools in America. It's called Behold the Land. It's by Helen Fine. This is made 1968. So I got the maps in here of Palestine at the time and their position on everything that was unfolding right before this period happened. So Helen Fine, Behold the Land. I got the book in my hand right now.
It's not Palestine, and it's not Palestine now, and it never was.
There was a Palestine. Where do you get that stuff from? You need to go back to your school and get your damn money back.
There was never no Palestine. Never, never, never.
This is crazy.
So these maps, I can believe you when you say that about Santa Claus, Joe Gibson.
I can make a map, too.
You are wrong about that. I'm telling you. You're wrong.
Who are the Palestinian people? Who are they?
They're Syrians and Jordanians. They're Syrians and Jordanians. That's the region they were from.
Why was Yasser Arafat then in the PLO? He was Egyptian. Because there is no such thing as a Palestinian. There's all different groups and Arabs.
Was Khrushchev a UN? Because the UN wouldn't,
Was a tree brown?
Oh,
was the ocean full of water?
The
well, what does that got to do with anything?
Gibson, you need
Netanyahu is from
actually open up your mind.
I am opening up my mind.
Helen Thomas just told you that. No, you're
not. You're rejecting every contrary
Hamas
argument against your philosophy. Anything that is contrary, any information
that's charged or anything else,
you will reject facts that do not conform to your beliefs.
That is not
That's not
being
true.
An open-minded person.
That's not true. I don't have an open mind
yes,
when it comes
You've
to God.
Doing
You're right.
This whole freaking time. You've been rejecting every single form of
you
fact that anybody
God.
Has
you
tried to present
God.
To you.
That's why.
That,
you reject God.
That absolutely.
Which one?
I reject man's interpretation. Okay?
I
don't
well,
reject
then that's
God.
That's a heretic. That's a heretic
man's
right
Man's interpretation
here.
Is a whole other freaking ball.
Well, then you're a heretic. Then you're a heretic.
Just say that God spoke to some
because
man.
Because I don't believe man?
Stevie Wonder.
Because
Stevie
I don't
Wonder
believe man can lie.
Because you don't
because
know
I don't
the
believe
truth.
Man can act
because you're rejecting the truth.
Things around and manipulate
and
what
I'm
is
sure
written to make people believe
what
it.
Is, what has man manipulated? What has man manipulated? What are you talking about?
Oh, my God,
the
Bible
the
itself.
Truth, right?
Oh,
that
my God.
You
take the Lord's
Bible.
Name in vain.
That's why there's not just one Bible.
There's
because
not one Bible,
man
huh?
Man has interpreted
if
the scripture.
Hear them
if the Bible
head,
was really true, it would be volumes. There is so much shit that's been rejected, so many scrolls,
really?
So many historical
really?
Documents,
oh my Lord.
So many writings that have
wow.
been, that were rejected.
What a bunch
and
of
heretics.
Wow, that is.
In your palm of your hand instead
saying?
Of having
if
a
you believe
encyclopedia.
That, if you believe that, I will pray for you because you are
well,
lost.
Joe,
because
wait,
it's
wait,
true.
Wait,
Look
so,
that up.
So you
no, it's
the
not
Bible
true.
And
for you to tell me that I have to believe what you're saying is true is wrong.
You're telling
you
me
believe
to believe what you say is true.
No, I'm just
when
pointing
I know,
out back
I, you
to
know,
you.
I know that there a group of men got together and decided what would and would
you
not
know,
be
what
included
men?
In the writing of
really?
The Bible. And then
really?
The hands
what
copied,
men?
You know, then there's all these different well, versions of the Bible. Which version am I supposed to believe? You say it's the King James Version. That's your truth, right? You're
That's
telling
not my
me
truth. No.
What is a legitimate
truth
belief.
Truth is not relative. Truth
You're
is not relative,
me
number one.
I reject God. You're telling
yeah,
me
you
that
do.
I
you,
reject
you,
God,
you,
number
you
one.
You do.
No, I
you
reject
are.
Man's interpretation. I reject man's interpretation. That is not a rejection of God. That is
but
a rejection
what,
of man's
what is
interpretation
the found,
of it.
What is
that
your
you are
foundation
so
of faith?
On.
What is your foundation of faith?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So,
I believe in a God. I believe in a creator. I believe in a God that, you know what, me as a human being with this three-dimensional physical brain will never
yep.
possibly fully understand.
Okay.
I will never
well,
fully understand God, not until I'm dead, and not until I go before him for judgment. Then I will understand. That is the only time I will understand God.
What are you going
that's
in front of God for judgment?
I am not
judgment.
Meant to fully understand it because I'm a human being. God made our
You're
brain
not,
physical and limited, so we are not no. ever going to fully understand God. All we have
really?
Is the overall manipulated version of God that
so,
has been
so,
written
so
down.
You're calling God a liar. You just called God a liar.
Nope.
You
so
telling me God can't
I
preserve
man
yes,
a liar.
Yes, you did.
I
you're telling me God cannot preserve
liar.
His word. You're saying God cannot
I
preserve his word for all man to see.
I called man a liar. I called man a liar.
How do we receive God's word?
You I am not going to allow you to twist my words into something I did not say and did not mean, Joe Gibson, period, end of story.
Well,
I never said that, and if you're going to misconstrue that, then that's slander.
That's not slander, and I don't care. I'm not here to apologize.
Yes,
I'm here to find out the facts. Now, what,
yes,
where
is.
Do you receive God's word, then? You called God
so,
a liar.
So,
you said the man twisted his word.
She just told you she didn't. So do you believe in the Torah?
Listen, man, you go against anybody who disagrees with me. So, all right, so I don't know what you're talking about. I'm asking her a question.
No.
What are you, her lawyer tonight?
Yeah, why do you think I'm always against
no,
you? I'm not against
that.
You, man. I'm not.
Really?
The
same
no,
guy
you're
that was on over there with Brother
really?
Warren agreeing with, him, agreeing with him when he was criticizing Lauren. Come on. Knock it off.
Really?
All right?
Really?
Now,
really?
Now.
No, you don't get my
now.
Because you've been talking over him.
What is Lauren? I haven't talked over anybody.
What is Warren got?
I never got a full 2 minutes.
I'm
not even
the
2 minute rule.
That Naj asked me because you immediately started talking over him.
Yeah. So
well,
again, When we were on that show with Warren, we were talking about racism. We were talking about racism, and me and you were on opposite sides of the conversation. And as y'all know, I'm the same person on every show. But again, so I'm gonna ask her, and I'm gonna ask you. So, do you think the Torah supersedes the Bible?
No.
Okay. All right. I'd like to remind everybody
that one way or the other.
I'd like to remind everybody that at the beginning of the show, I recited four major premises that Israel staked its claim for the land it's now on, and only one of them was religious. The other three were historical and secular. So, and in fact, the religious premise in descending order is the least important of the four. Remember, there is one, they settled and developed the land. Number two, the international community granted them political sovereignty through the League of Nations mandate and the United Nations partition agreement. Three, the territory was captured in defensive wars, most particularly the Six-Day War. And finally, number four, God promised the land to the patriarch Abraham. That is what they rest their claim on, and religion is nowhere near the most important of them.
That's the one they talk about the most. That's the one they use to justify.
No, that's the one people choose to talk about. That's the one that people choose to talk about.
That's the most important. That's what people choose.
It's not.
That's what people choose to believe, because God speaking to somebody is a bunch of hopeless focus. That's what it is. Stevie Wonder wrote a song about it called Superstition. If you believe in things you don't understand,
superstition. Not an anti-God statement. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I'm just saying. The most important reasons are the ones that people want to continually ignore, and they want to go to the religious thing because that's the thing that's the most contentious. They want to ignore other three.
Yeah, so I was trying to answer. So, again, the Israeli representatives constantly use Zionism as a reason. So I wouldn't put it at number four. The second thing would be when you talk about a coalition of the willing, like when we went into Iraq, when you talk about a governing body deciding lines of demarcation across the globe in an area that they don't inhabit and then call that, well, the United, they justify, well, let's be clear about what we're talking about. You're talking about force being able to justify themselves through documents. The British Army.
They were there. They did inhabit it, Nash. They were living on the land.
Stop it.
They were living there.
Stop it.
What do you mean they didn't inhabit it? They were living there. They had purchased land at exorbitant prices from Arab landowners to the tune of $1,100 an acre for arid, uninhabitable, unagriculturally suitable land. When Iowan farmland, rich farmland in the United States was going for $110 an acre. You just made that up. They were living there, Josh. They were already living there.
If they bought the land, Palestinians was kind enough to sell it to them.
They did it. They bought it.
Pianchi, no, don't fall for that trick.
Oh, no, I'm going to back it up with facts. You are lacking in many facts. And I'm going to back it up with facts. You're wrong about that, sir, as how that region came to be settled. You are absolutely incorrect.
Sarge tactic.
They never bring facts, Sarge. Never.
Run out the clock so nobody can talk. So,
no, you mean I've been quiet for the last half hour? Listen to you, Blab. Are you serious?
Sarge tactic 101, run out the clock.
I've been quiet. I haven't said anything.
This is what anti-American liberals do.
And here we go with the anti-American stuff from the guy who thinks we never overthrew a country. So, yeah, your naivete is on record.
Yep.
So,
yep. We did overthrow a country, the Indians.
Yeah, okay.
They didn't have a country. They were tribes. They didn't have a country.
Can I tell y'all, Sarge Tactic?
And we ain't getting that back.
Hey, wait a minute.
Susan
is actually trying to say something, Donnie's wife. So give her the floor, please.
Hello, Cinnamon.
Okay, you guys got to tone it down just a little bit. you're getting a little too fired up, and you gotta let each other talk. So let Nas refute what you're saying, and then Sarge, you can refute what he says, but don't be screaming at each other. You gotta keep this civil.
Right. So when you hear this Disney story about the great Israelis winning this 6-day war, what you need to understand is the British and the Americans not only supplied the weaponry, but they supplied the logistics, radio comms, and everything else for them to win that war. So when Taurus tells the story, it's like, well, you know, right of conquest. If they won the territory. No, that was loaded up for them by America and by the UK. That's how they had the weaponry. That's how they had the tanks. That's how they had the ability to commit war at that scale to fight off five countries simultaneously. So like, this idea that they were just some settler farmers who happened to fight off modern armies, like, it's nonsense. No, that's reality. I'm giving you reality. You're giving me Disney stories.
Man,
you'll give me Disney stories.
Back them up.
It was a surprise attack, Nash.
You got to be kidding me.
It was a surprise attack.
You got to be kidding me.
Dude, you don't understand that and Britain had everybody's communication at the time. You don't think they could see countries mobilizing for war? Like, get out of here. Now, the next point, when Sarge says, well,
Let me repeat that.
Joe, get out of here.
You made a statement.
Let me finish my point.
You made a statement.
Which is
yeah, you know you're dead wrong, right? You
and
just
he
can't
wasn't
fool yourself.
Finished.
No,
he was
sorry.
Megan won, and he wanted to get the Republic point.
Yeah. Again, now he's using Sarge.
So I'm going to cut him to pieces. I'm going
to
cut him to pieces. Just wait.
I'm
going to cut him to pieces now. He didn't mess
what's
up. He stepped in
well,
it. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, make your point. Yeah, make your point.
Even more
yeah.
Kind of
well, quit filibustering and make your point.
How? Y'all keep talking. So then we go to the next idea where Sarge lays out this. Well, you know, they bought the land at 10 times what market value for land was at the time. Where do you think the money came from? Like, are you this naive? Like, are you this, like, how do y'all not get that the West wanted to pivot in the Middle East and they were willing to finance it not only as far as land buying, but also militarily? How do y'all not get this? Y'all think this was the great miracle where some farmers woke up and won a war against five invading nations?
Oh,
silly.
You done?
Grow up. I'm done.
Let me know when you finish. You finished now?
You heard me, man.
All right. Okay. I'm gonna quickly go to a point, then I'm gonna get to the 6-day war because you totally misrepresented that. First of all, Jewish immigrants acquired land through two primary methods. Number one, there's all kind of Zionist organizations that yes had hoarded away a lot of money. They would join one of those organizations and apply for loans. Number two, they joined the kibbutz. They joined the kibbutz and the cooperative would buy. Let me finish.
Moderators.
Let me
finish.
Y'all interrupted me every
day.
I got one sentence. And you start interrupting me.
That's what you just did to me.
Man, I didn't say a word until you finished.
Let him talk, Nas, and you can talk.
All right, one more time. Let me repeat the sentence that you interrupted me on. You interrupted me when I said that two primary methods of acquiring land. Number one, through one of the Zionist organizations that provided financial support. And number two, cooperatives such as kibbutzes. That's how they bought the land. But I don't want to dwell on that. In the 6-day war, the Israelis had 50,000 active troops, 214,000 reserves, 250 combat aircraft, and 800 tanks, for a total of 264,000 troops. Egypt alone had 240,000. Syria, Jordan, and Iraq had 307,000. 957 combat aircraft, 2,504 tanks. Saudi Arabia had 20,000 troops. And Lebanon had 25 combat aircraft for a total of over 500,000 troops with 300,000 deployed.
Now, they beat the Arabs because they had superior tactics and strategy. And they did a preemptive strike and a blitzkrieg that hadn't been seen since France in 1940. Masterfully executed. And the United States did not give them aid. They purchased their arms on the international arms market. The United States did not give military aid to Israel formally through congressional appropriation until the Yom Kippur War of 1973. That is not true. They acquired all of their arms on the international arms market through international arms brokers.
Yeah.
Just made that up.
I didn't even say it's astounding. They didn't have the money to buy the land that you're talking about.
It is seriously drowning everybody out, and it's really hard, even harder. Because that in the background, like, what the fuck is that? And shut it up.
I got a guess on who it is. But again, yeah, the land development was funded by the West, I'm guessing who it is. Of course, on the black market, and SARS, naive as hell, I guess, thinks that they just went out there and just bought these weapons and were able to facilitate their army based on what the black market was willing to provide. Like, how do you not get
the black market and the international arms market bought openly? Look at the equipment there. They had World War II M3 half-tracks. Man, you don't even see the equipment they were carrying?
At the time, that was
enough. Serious?
Yes, at the time, that was enough.
They got it on the international arms market, not the black market.
The two countries who needed this experiment to succeed.
You don't know what you're talking about. Just made it up.
Yeah, I do. I do. Because you just don't want to believe what's obviously in front of you. The two countries who needed this this project to succeed provided the military capability, background, and hardware, and also facilitated the land buying. And if you're naive enough to believe that they, through their Zionist charity and doing those rallies and raising money grassroots-wise, made it up, Joe, you're not loud enough. I'm louder than you.
Well, how'd they get the money now? The United States gave it to them through foreign aid in 1880?
Yes.
How did they get it, Naj?
Yes.
In 1880, we had all this foreign aid going to Zionists in Palestine.
And the United States and Great Britain facilitated all of it.
Oh, nonsense. You just made it up.
Now you're making up conspiracy.
Oh, hold on. Go to
Go
to Noam Chomsky, How to Define Power. In his book, he details it. You want more? Go to Norm Finkelstein, that another Jewish person, because we're going to use Jewish authority on this so we can know where the reality is. Norm Finkelstein, he also lays it out as well. And if y'all don't know, he's the guy who was on Democracy Now! Beating the hell out of Dershowitz in a debate about this same conversation.
Well, hang on for a second. You can't say that the United States and Britain didn't create the Third Reich. There's a book called Conjuring Hitler that talks about that very, very well.
Well, there's a lot to that as far as after it was up and running, financing from Ford, IBM, and all those different companies that just looked at Germany as a way to make